Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. La Sala's By Right Market and Deli, a mom pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The dream expressed by Martin Luther King Jr. is coming true, and it was a dream that included everyone, not just black America.
Don't underestimate the power for people who join together to accomplish amazing things.
We're going to walk out to the entrance to the trail.
More than 100 volunteers turned out here with snow falling down to clear woods believed to be part of the Underground Railroad path for escaping slaves.
For instance, here's a tree with a hole in it, and this would have been a shelter for the evening to hide and to get warm.
Kids concentrate on a short red weed. Adults take on sturdier briars, pitching in on this National Day of Service. Barry Bagnotto, CBS News, Sandy Spring, Maryland.
I'm Steve Kathan on the National Mall. Floyd Mayfield is here for the inaugural from Atlanta, still pinching himself at the idea of black man will be sworn in as president.
It means a lot. It's something that I never saw coming.
Amanda Nelson from Laurel, Maryland, is solidly behind Mr. Obama's call to service.
I'm willing to really step up and try to do whatever I can do possibly.
A sentiment shared by so many here that hope must now become action.
At Penn Station in New York today, jammed. Destination Washington in hopes of being part of history, at least in the city, for the inauguration. Even kids in kindergarten are learning about this week. Out in Seattle.
Parks kept sitting on the bus. Martin Luther King marched around in the streets. And Barack Obama now is the first black man to be president.
And the band played today. Dress rehearsal for the swearing-in ceremonies. And what about security?
You have somewhere between 2 million, maybe 3 million people, and you have the swearing-in of the nation's first African-American president. So that confluence of events really has people at the Department of Homeland Security concerned. They say they're not really worried about some kind of large-scale attack, but they are very, very much worried about what's called the lone wolf attacker, somebody, a solo individual in the crowd who may be motivated by hatred, racial prejudice, or some kind of grievance to try to act out.
CBS's Bob Orr. The inauguration at noon tomorrow. In Bill Clinton's final hours, he handed out pardons by the fistful, scores of them. President Bush today, two. And they weren't pardons. They are commutations of the sentences of two former Border Patrol agents, Ignacio Ramos and Jose Campion.
We're told President Bush believes that Ramos and Campion received a fair trial and were justly convicted of serious crimes. But he agreed with members of Congress and others who found their prison terms of over 10 years each to be excessive. The White House points out the two men will remain convicted felons and carry the shame of their actions for the rest of their lives.
CBS News correspondent Mark Noller at the White House. This is CBS News.
OfficeMax believes that in this economy, small businesses should get all the perks that big businesses get, which is why we're calling small businesses like Pink Mullet Salon.
Thanks for choosing Pink Mullet. This is Jeff.
Hi. Well, I'm calling from OfficeMax, and we want to do a free national radio commercial for your salon right now.
Awesome.
All right. Why should we go to the Pink Mullet Salon?
So Pink Mullet is kind of like trying to create its own little niche or something that's a little bit more edgy, but still, you know, very well-trained professionals that work here.
Nice. You ever shave somebody's head and say maybe you should just start over?
Yeah, I call that the hand of justice.
Ah, Pink Mullet Salon, home of the hand of justice.
That's right.
Wow, that is fabulous. All right, my friend, I will see you at the Pink Mullet Salon.
All right, thank you so much.
Small businesses. Join the Max Perks Rewards Program at OfficeMax, and you'll earn rewards that can be redeemed like cash. And right now, OfficeMax will give you 25% bonus rewards when you use your Max Perks card on big brands like Sharpie, Avery, and Post-its. Restrictions apply. See store for details. Promotion ends January 31st.
The salmonella recalls of peanut butter products continue to expand. Meyer brand crackers and two of its ice creams are coming off the shelves.
We have four Meyer branded products that we today voluntarily recalled. They are our cheese and peanut butter sandwich crackers, the toasty peanut butter sandwich crackers, our peanut butter and jelly ice cream, and our peanut butter cup ice cream.
That's Stacy Beeler. She says salmonella has not been found in any of their products yet. They're just being very careful. Earlier, Kellogg's announced 16 products coming off the shelves. In one package, they found some salmonella. Who'd have thunk there's such a thing as camel wrestling? Trained male camels matched by weight classes wrestle each other to get to the female in heat. A camel can win by forcing the other to sit down, by pushing him out of the arena, or by making him turn and run. 20,000 people showed up in Izmir, Turkey for the camel wrestling this weekend. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
So my little brother, who runs his own business, tells me, the holy grail in business is your customer's email. So I'm like, okay, but how can you, Mr. No Creative Bone in Your Body, do something snazzy like email marketing? And he goes, ConstantContact.com. You know, if I had known he'd be this successful, I totally would have given him the top bunk.
ConstantContact.com. Email marketing with tons of easy-to-use, professional-looking templates so you can be as creative as you want. Get a free 60-day trial and free live phone support at ConstantContact.com.
People are feeling it a little more these days. The ows are getting a little more owier, and the uggs are getting just a little uglier. Shoulders and necks are tighter, and when you exercise to work it all out, the soreness can linger. Tiger Balm feels your pain. Stress can make you ache and ugh. Tiger Balm patches and ointments work fast, and they're the powerful way to conquer pain, no matter where it comes from. Go from ow to ah with Tiger Balm. Works where it hurts.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Less than 18 hours remain until the departure of Bush and Cheney from the White House and Washington.
Hallelujah!
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Springsteen, he was among the entertainers at the inaugural concert in front of the Lincoln Memorial on Sunday. Did a great job. Wish he'd played that song. Our special progressive coverage of the historic inauguration of President Barack Obama is sponsored by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. They're on the web at IBEW.org. IBEW is ready for our green energy future. And today's edition of the Peter B. Collins Show is more unscripted than even usual. I mean, we don't script the show. I don't have texts that I read to you. But we do generally know what's happening when on the program, and today that's not the case. I'm in San Francisco at my home base, and we are linking up frequently with Radio Row in Washington. It's on Capitol Hill, just a few steps from the Capitol. And at Radio Row, it's been chaotic. That's not unusual. I've done many of these Radio Rows in the past, the Denver Democratic Convention, and events in Washington over the years. And it's compounded this year by the difficulty of getting around Washington. And we had scheduled earlier in the day to record some interviews with members of Congress and others who were there for the inauguration, and didn't come through. And we suspect in most cases that the individuals could not get to Radio Row at the Liaison Hotel on Capitol Hill. So we have a schedule here, and I'll share it with you because we have some idea of who's going to be on the program today. But, for example, right now we're waiting for a call from Robert Creamer. He is a political consultant based in Chicago, and he happens to be an activist progressive who is married to Jan Schakowsky, a very progressive member of Congress from the North Shore of Chicago. And we don't have him right now. He may be joining us any minute. We're just going to wait and see. A little later this hour, Congressman Bill Pascrell, a Democrat from New Jersey, is scheduled to join us. We got a call from one of his assistants a few minutes ago, so we're pretty optimistic that that's going to come through. Bob Borisage from the Campaign for America's Future is scheduled to join us in the next segment, and we'll see if that happens. We also have arranged, separate from Radio Row, to talk to David Cobb. He, of course, is one of the leaders of Democracy Unlimited in Humboldt County, a prime area for the Peter B. Collins Show in Eureka. He also was the Green candidate for president in 2004 and did the nation a favor by demanding the partial recount that occurred in Ohio when Kerry won and Bush got the presidency for the second time. Also on today's program, Eric Bollert. He's highly probable at the beginning of next hour. He's from Media Matters and is a frequent contributor to our program. He's going to talk about the phony stories about the high cost of this inauguration compared to Bush and others in the past. Also scheduled today, Mark Brzezinski. He's from the famous Brzezinski family. His dad is Zvig. His sister is Mika. And he is a leading foreign policy advisor to Barack Obama. And I'm looking forward, hopefully, to talking with him. Also on today's program, Dwayne Hunn from the American World Service Corps. As you may know, today, Monday, is the day that has been set aside as a day to promote volunteer and service activities. I saw on TV Joe Biden was hammering away at some sort of a housing site or a remodel. Maybe it was a Habitat for Humanity. I had the sound down, so I don't really know. But Dwayne Hunn has been leading the charge to expand the Peace Corps and AmeriCorps VISTA into a very comprehensive World Service Corps. He has a member of Congress, Lynn Woolsey, promising to introduce the legislation in this coming session. And Barack Obama has talked about service, national service, in many respects. And Dwayne Hunn thinks that perhaps this is the right time to be discussing these issues. Also, we're scheduled to talk with Earl Bender, who is a Washington-based political consultant and operator, and we'll talk to him about the Obama transition and exactly who's going to be ready to go to work on day one. So that's all ahead, and some of it will happen, and some of it may not. That's how it works in a topsy-turvy broadcast like this, and we will just take it as it comes. And you're welcome to call in with your comments along the way. Most of our interviews today will be brief, no longer than one segment, sometimes shorter than that, depending on the availability of the individuals. And so your calls can be squeezed in between them. And I welcome your thoughts, pro or con, you know, on this program. While I'm certainly in a celebratory mood, and I am excited about certain departures from Washington and certain arrivals, I'm a pretty realistic guy. And I think you have heard, even during this transition, some pointed criticism of the incoming president, in particular the policies related to Afghanistan that I'm very concerned about, and more recently his failure really to speak up in a tangible way about the Israeli invasion of Gaza and the real catastrophe there, the human rights catastrophe that has occurred. And speaking of that, I want to take a moment here to update you. Over the weekend, first Israel declared a ceasefire and then Hamas declared a truce. It is supposed to last for 1 week, at least that is the discussion. There have been a few skirmishes since, but the Israeli ground troops, the forces, appear to be leaving Gaza, and the citizens there have been emerging from their homes and into the rubble, and another 100 dead bodies were found on Sunday, which brings the death toll to 1,310. Palestinians, and 5,600 wounded. And I don't have a current estimate, but along the way, it has been estimated that fully half of those injured are children and women. And so this is a grisly scene that appears to be quieting down. And Israel seems to have intended to try to pull out before the American election, hoping to kind of bury this in the minds of its most critical ally. At least that's my opinion. And I will continue to raise issues about this and about the United States' position, our posture which so heavily favors Israel. And in this extent, in this particular episode, as you know, I feel that Israel overreacted, that the 1,310 dead Palestinians compared to about 13 Israelis, four of whom were soldiers killed by friendly fire, that that is a real disproportionate toll for Israel to exact from the Palestinians. And as you know, I am not some sort of a sympathizer for Hamas. My sympathies are with human beings. And I believe the Israeli occupation is obscene and should not continue, and that the United States needs to push to end the occupation of Gaza and the isolation of the West Bank, and that that could lead to, you know, a more healthy situation there on the ground, and an end to the most serious irritant that I believe causes the reaction from Palestinians, which is to throw off the occupier. So we're going to take a break right now and check in with Washington, and in just a few minutes we hope to talk with Bob Borisage. But as we said, this is a wild, unscheduled kind of program. We're operating like trapeze artists without a net. So stand by, and after the break, we'll see what happens. You're welcome to join in. Let me know your thoughts about the momentous inauguration day tomorrow. And lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You can always email me. That's Peter at PeterBCollins.com. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Good Vibration.
Tools for Transformation
is being preempted by sports programming this month.
We'll run encore presentations of some of your favorite shows on the internet, so tune in. Good Vibration.
Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service features full service, friendly, fast, same-day service. Or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located at 4665 Soquel Drive at the intersection with Porter Street in Soquel. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
C
sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting Sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
There's more than one side to every issue. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights from 9 to 11, we examine issues from every angle on our show called A Different Perspective. Sometimes we have guests bring a viewpoint that isn't often heard elsewhere. Other times we'll discuss our different perspectives on the issue of the day. Either way, call in and give us your different perspective. Join us, Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart, on A Different Perspective. Thursday nights at 9, here on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Tomorrow's the big day when Barack Obama and Joe Biden take their oaths of office. Millions of people expected in Washington, D.C. And we've got special coverage for you tomorrow on the Peter B. Collins Show. We will be covering the post-inaugural proceedings starting at roughly 10 o'clock Pacific time, 1 o'clock Eastern. And for most of the afternoon, we'll be live on our affiliate in Boston, WWZN AM 1510. And then at our usual time, 3 o'clock Pacific, 6 o'clock Eastern, we'll link up with our affiliate stations here, the Peter B. Collins Network, and continue our coverage. So it's going to be quite a day, and I'm really looking forward to it. A lot of great people will be joining us on the program to talk about their hopes and some of their concerns. As you know, we're happy to celebrate, but we never stray from progressive politics and our desire to repair the damage that's been done to this nation. We're standing by to hear from Bob Borisage at Radio Row. And in the meantime, I want to share an interview that I conducted last June in Missoula, Montana, where actor Cal Penn showed up at the Obama headquarters on a Saturday morning. And at the inaugural concert on Sunday afternoon in the frigid zone right there in front of the Lincoln Memorial, Cal Penn was one of the participants. He read some commentary. And at the end, he got a special hug from Barack and Michelle Obama. So he clearly has won their hearts. Here's a chat I had with Cal Penn.
I've never heard anybody kind of come together under this banner of really what it means to be American. And it kind of goes back to 4 years ago, something that happened to a friend of mine. I was living in Texas, and this buddy of mine was making minimum wage, working at a trucking company. He was trying to save up money for college. And his phone rang one day, and the voice on the other line offered him $90,000 if he would drive a truck for a defense contractor in Iraq. And so he told them that he would call them back, and he called me, called a couple of other friends, and asked what we thought he should do. And I remember thinking that no matter what he decided, it was really sad that the world's richest, most powerful country could only offer those two options for a kid who wanted to go to college, either minimum wage or 90 grand in a war zone. The cynical, independent side of me actually got even more cynical, and I thought, well, there's nothing we can do. And luckily, 2 weeks after that, this was back in 2004, 2 weeks after that, I had the TV on, and I was checking my email, and it's kind of in the background, I heard somebody on the television say, especially after 9/11, we shouldn't be divided between blue states and red states, we should focus on being part of the United States. And I looked up, I was like, who is this guy with the big ears and the funny name, and why is he saying all these amazing things? And I kept watching, it was Senator Obama's DNC keynote in 2004, and basically by the end of his speech, I just thought this guy needs to run for president. And
That's Cal Penn talking to Obama supporters in Missoula, Montana in June of 2008. Don't know what post he'll get in the Obama administration, but after the Kumar Road films, who knows what they have in mind for him. I was kind of surprised, too, to see Jack Black up there. I don't think of him as historical or political or any of that, but it just shows the everyman nature, I guess, the inclusiveness of this Obama administration. Speaking of which, you know, tonight in Washington, Monday night, Barack Obama is hosting a black tie dinner. And the guest of honor is John McCain. According to the New York Times, he and McCain have spoken frequently since the end of the election. McCain offered comments to the incoming president after a recent trip to Iraq and Afghanistan. And Lindsey Graham, who is a close friend of John McCain's, offered the opinion that many of the people in the Obama cabinet are people that McCain would have picked. Now, as a progressive, I'm a little uncomfortable at that. And while I applaud anything that Obama can do to reduce the poisonous of partisanship in Washington, I'm not optimistic. You can make a friend out of John McCain, but John McCain is not that influential in Republican circles, even in his own United States Senate. There are many Republicans who don't have a comfortable or cozy relationship with Senator McCain. And I, as I've expressed on this program many times, I really think that this experiment in post-partisanship will not last very long. And it's not for lack of trying on Obama's part. Certainly recruiting two Republicans into the cabinet, including holding over Bob Gates as Secretary of Defense, should mollify, if not pacify, some of those Republicans in the Senate. But we've seen the partisan teeth flashing around the recent release of bailout money. Those same teeth didn't flash or snarl when Bush asked for money. We've seen David Vitter, a man who is quite ethically challenged, as the point man in the confirmation hearings of Hillary Clinton, raising questions about ethics. Now, the question should be raised, he's just not the right guy, if you ask me. And as we look at the contentiousness of the way the White House negotiated the loans to Detroit and slipped in there what is essentially a no-strike clause, doesn't sound like it's binding or, you know, really legal, but it's there. I don't believe that the Republicans will pipe down. I don't believe that they're going to find conciliation and comity, as the term is used in Washington. And so it's fine with me that Obama went to George Will's house last week and seems to have schmoozed some of the right-wing pundits. Bill Kristol, not Billy, in his misplaced op-ed in the New York Times on Monday, talked about how he went to that dinner and how even conservatives say they're going to be praying for Barack Obama and the challenges that he faces. So, no, I don't object to that. I think that's smart. But I really don't think it's going to work. I don't think that Robert Gates will be the Secretary of Defense next year at this time. I think he will be used as a transitional figure. I think that he will be used to try to do some of the dirty work here using a Republican to end a Republican war. But I don't think long-term that Washington will respond to the ministrations of Barack Obama. And if I'm wrong, I'll eat something. And I'll let you choose what it is, a hat, a book, a newspaper, anything that won't kill me. Because I'd love to be wrong about this. I would love to see the nation's capital respond to Obama and really move beyond the partisan squabbles of the past. I guess I'm just too cynical and I've been around too long. We're going to take a break and return for more on the Peter B. Collins Show, and it's our pre-inaugural special today. You can call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B or email peter at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. I'm Charles Osgood. These are not the best of times. Mind you, they're not the worst of times either. But there's no question in this economic crisis that our new president has his work cut out for him. But he's already got the country behind him enough to bring pressure to bear on Congress for nearly $1 trillion worth of relief and economic pump priming between the rest of the TARP money and the huge new stimulus package.
This really is, we believe, what the economy needs.
Lawrence Summers, former Treasury Secretary and former President of Harvard, who will now be head of President Obama's National Economic Council. He was on CBS News Face the Nation yesterday.
This is the largest such program in the country's history, 3 million, 4 million jobs. It's going to make a very big difference. It all depends on psychology.
It does all depend on psychology, and the constant drumbeat of bad news reports doesn't help. More after this. Did you know the most common cause of blindness in people age 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, AMD? It often begins with symptoms including wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. So if you aren't seeing clearly, see an eye doctor and get checked out right away, because early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is key. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
With Medicare Part D, you'll pay about the same copay anywhere. No wonder seniors are choosing America's most trusted pharmacy, Walgreens. There's no more shopping around for price, so join the millions by transferring your prescriptions to Walgreens. Just bring in your bottles and they'll do the rest. Not only will you get great service and convenience at Walgreens, you'll also feel safer knowing you have just one pharmacy helping you manage all your medicines. Walgreens accepts most Medicare Part D plans.
We can't just stand there, said Barack Obama's senior advisor David Axelrod on ABC's This Week.
We have to act. We have to try. It's not enough to be a doubter. It's not enough to question. Not when we're in the situation we're in.
Many Republicans don't like the idea of the government assuming such a big role. But Axelrod says,
only the government can marshal the resources to really blast us out of the morass we're in right now.
And many Democrats don't like the idea of holding off on substantial tax increases. But Rahm Emanuel, who'll be Obama's chief of staff, told NBC's Meet the Press,
you cannot have a strong economy, does not have a strong middle class. And the approach has been to provide the middle class with a tax cut and also to start getting the economy moving again by making critical investments. That's why we want to create 3.5 million jobs.
The Osgood File. You'll find transcripts, MP3s, and podcasts of all this at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Wide open Robinson for a three off the inbound. 2 for 2, Nikan Robinson. 4 on 3 up the left side. Jamal Boykin, the open floor. Goes in and Viney and scores.
This is the voice of the Golden Bears, Roxy Bernstein, inviting you to join us for another exciting season of Cal basketball right here on your home for the Bears.
The Bears return home this Thursday as Oregon State comes to the Haas Pavilion. Basketball at its best. 7 p.m. KRXA Thursday.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
I I hope you had a chance to see the inaugural concert in front of the Lincoln Memorial on Sunday. Pete Seeger was there with Bruce Springsteen doing Woody's song.
As I was walking over the highway, I saw above me and in the skyway, I saw below me a golden valley. Footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond desert, and all around me a voice was calling. Yeah, this land was made for you. This land is your land. This land is my land.
And Pete Seeger insisted on calling out all the words to help people through some of the unknown verses of This Land Is Your Land. It was really a great presentation, and HBO offered it for free, even for non-subscribers. So I hope you did have a chance to catch it, or maybe you will on one of the replays that is likely to happen over the next few days. It is our special broadcast here, progressive coverage of the historic inauguration of President Barack Obama, sponsored by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. They're on the web at IBEW.org. IBEW is ready for our green energy future. In a few minutes, David Cobb will join us. He was the Green Party presidential candidate in 2004, and he's active in Humboldt County politics these days at Democracy Unlimited. Congressman Bill Pascrell is with us. That's Pascrell, P-A-S-C-R-E-L-L, Democrat from New Jersey, heading into his seventh term as a Democrat in the House. Mr. Pascrell, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Honored to be on the show, Peter.
Nice to talk with you, sir. And what is your vibe? What are you feeling there in Washington with, the Bush departure less than 18 hours away?
Look, it's electric. Trickle-down economics is ready for a burial, probably in February. It's a new day. It's a new chapter. And, you just sense it in the air. This is not just about one person, a great, great person at that, President-elect Barack Obama. This is also about getting America back on its feet again, and we will do that. There's no question about it.
And what are the most important issues for you, Mr. Pascrell?
Well, as a member of the Ways and Means Committee, I think it's critical and important that we get this country's finances back in shape again. We're going to have to invest in the infrastructure, in energy projects, and have middle-class tax cuts and for business tax cuts as well in order to get the country up and running again. But this will be it for a short time, Peter. And what we're going to have to do is make sure that whatever we do spend in the future is for the betterment of the country and not simply those who profit in greed, as we've seen in the past several years. So I think it's important that we get the country's finances moving. On the international front, obviously, we're going to move in a different direction. We're going to have real diplomacy. We can flex our muscles. And as Clinton said back in the Denver Convention, Bill Clinton, a former president, we shall be known by the strength of our ideas rather than the power of our muscle, of our military. Mm-hmm. I think that this is important. We'll have a strong military. We're going to use it wisely.
Now, Congressman, to your committee, Ways and Means, we called it a culture of corruption when the Republicans failed to investigate or remove leaders when ethical questions were surfacing. And it pains me to see that Charlie Rangel is at the center of some serious questions about his ethics, about the tax deal on his Haitian property, about the sweetheart deal with the multiple rent-controlled units in New York. And what has recently surfaced is that it does appear that people got benefits in legislation after they made contributions to a nonprofit that he is forming. Now, these are unresolved allegations, and I want to underscore that at this point. But shouldn't Chairman Rangel step aside until these allegations are cleared?
No, I don't think so, Peter. I think he's functioning very, very well on a day-to-day basis. I watched that very carefully. I can understand that your questions and understand your concerns, and I think they're legitimate. But I think so far he's handled it very, very well. There's been no criminal charges against him. I think that there's been an investigation by the Ethics Committee. That investigation is going on as we speak, and then we'll see where that comes. And if they find something wrong, then obviously Charlie will make the right decision for himself.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't find anything wrong, he'll continue to do the job he's doing.
All right. Well, just as politely and diplomatically as I can, sir, I want to underscore that we need to operate with a very clear sense of ethics and even the appearance of impropriety.
There's no question about it. You're right.
We need to show a stark change from the past.
But we don't want to throw anybody under the bus, Peter, that shouldn't be thrown under the bus, because we've come out of 8 years of that. You saw people that went to jail in the last 8 years because they were sacrificed for the whole. We can't do that. We must be able to fight on the truth, on the data, on science, and not simply go at whim. Now, what appears to be something wrong does not necessarily mean that it's wrong. So I think that we should wait to see, and if there was no investigation going on, that's a different story then.
Mm-hmm.
If we're afraid to investigate, then we don't belong there.
Now, Congressman, on another front, over the weekend, Nancy Pelosi surprised some people by saying that she'd like to see an investigation into the Justice Department, the politicization of the U.S. attorney appointments and firings. And that is welcome from the Speaker, because she's the one who blocked impeachment of Bush and Cheney. And, the sense was building that she was opposed to any kind of investigation.
No, I think, Peter, she's on target. I think she's hit the nail on the head. I think that if the impeachment process would have come too late, it would have been an exhaustion of time, and it wouldn't have gone anyplace. I personally believe that what the review of the Attorney General's office and basically is for sale. I mean, if that's for sale, then obviously these are the law enforcement, the highest law enforcement agency in the country. Then that tells you about the administration in and of itself. I think that there is never a time limit to investigate that kind of stuff, because it affects and has a trickle-down effect. Talk about trickle-down. It has a trickle-down effect to law enforcement agencies throughout the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with Nancy 100%.
And what about the 487-page report that was published by John Conyers and the Judiciary Committee last week detailing the abuses of power by the Bush administration? How much should be investigated, and how much should we just say, well, that was in the past, we will turn the page?
If there is clear circumventing of the law, there should be the Judiciary Committee should move forward on this, even though we have a new administration. You say, well, what are we doing? We're crying over spilt milk. We're not just talking about any agency. We're not talking about some undersecretary in the Labor Department who didn't uphold the law and uphold the standards of contracts or uphold the visa legislation about working contracts in the United States of America. And we're not talking about the bad. We're talking about, if that's serious enough, we're talking about actually those people who we entrusted to follow the law, to implement the law, not doing their job. In fact, one step worse, they spoiled what we should be doing right now, and that is upholding the Constitution and the law. When you look at that U.S. attorney situation, for instance, which Nancy was looking at, Nancy Pelosi, you see, 11 of those attorneys who were threatened. Why? Because they did not follow through on what on the political enemies list. But there were a lot more on that list who got off the list. And I'm wondering how you were on the list and got off the list. What did you do to satisfy the administration? What did you do? And I have some serious questions about that. I think Nancy Pelosi is right on target.
Now, Susan Crawford, who heads the military tribunals under the kangaroo court system that has been installed at Guantanamo Bay, has acknowledged that we tortured Al-Qahtani. And I believe this is a stunning admission that builds on the evidence to date that shows that this was the policy of the Bush administration. Don Rumsfeld initiated it. And we now know from the exit interviews that Bush and Cheney are proud that they authorized waterboarding and other forms of torture. At what point do we launch an investigation into that set of issues?
I think that it should have been started already. We don't have to wait for a new president to do that.
Amen.
I think that this is against the conscience of America. it doesn't prove. We know that kind of evidence that comes out of a torture situation. And there is no question we're going to shut down Guantanamo.
Mm-hmm.
Where those people who deserve to be in prison should go, I think we should leave that up to the justices and the military and wherever they're going to put them in the states. Now, a lot of those folks have been there for 4 or 5 years and there are no charges against them. I mean, I think that's an outrage. I think that's definitely unacceptable.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and I believe if we charge those who are chargeable, that it will help us understand who else is there. 24 individuals have been discharged from Guantanamo in the last 3 months and quietly sent home. And that is an admission that there were no charges that could be brought against them. These were innocent people who were held indefinitely without charge.
Are all lives equal, Peter? Are, you know, those people who bang the drum. I say all lives are equal, regardless of what religion they profess,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what political persuasions that they have, that we're Americans. And you say, well, if you have the least bit of suspicion, well, if you have suspicion, tell the court of law what the suspicion is. You can't, instead of indiscriminately collecting people and holding them and hoping you're going to come up with something. That's not what we do as America. This is not what we are all about.
Well, I certainly agree with you. And what is your position relative to the Palestinians and what we hope is the now-ended incursion by Israel into the Gaza Strip? The carnage there is incredible. 1,310 Palestinians are dead and 13 Israelis. Do you see that as disproportionate?
Well, this is what I believe. I think that the Hamas has no right to send rockets into Israel or any other country for that matter. They are a terrorist organization, and they've been doing this for a long time. Israel's patience ran out. Now, I personally believe that would not have happened, Peter, incursion into the Gaza Strip, unless the United States gave tacit approval. And I think what we need to do is take a look at what Secretary Rice's role was in this situation. I wonder if this was part of an October, the October surprise that we were waiting for in the election that never got off the ground because of the financial crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very suspect of the whole thing. Israel has its right to protect itself. But we're talking about, for the most part, the loss of innocent lives.
That's right. It goes well beyond any kind of self-defense, and in fact, it embraces the faulty Bush doctrine of preemption.
And I think personally we need to send humanitarian aid there. I think that should be our first thing to do. Again, we should be known by the power of ideas.
Well, Congressman, I want to thank you for joining us from Radio Row. It's a pleasure to meet you. Bill Pascrell is a Democrat from New Jersey.
Anytime I can be of any help, please call me.
Thank you for the frank exchange of views. And just one more thought. I want my Fourth Amendment back, the whole thing.
Okay.
All right.
It sounds like we want not an imperial presidency. We want a presidency which recognizes the other branches of government.
That is correct, sir. And this call was monitored by the National Security Agency. It's up to them to decide what to do with it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Bill Pascrell, Democratic Congressman from New Jersey. Patterson is the seat. We'll take a break and return with David Cobb from Democracy Unlimited in Humboldt County. He was the Green Party's presidential candidate in 2004. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Friday, 8:11 a.m.
very disturbed by your position about Ralph Nader. I think he's anything but an egomaniac, and I feel that your attitude is extremely ignorant of progressive politics, the need for other parties to combat the corporate hold on Democrats and Republicans, and it's ridiculous to say Ralph Nader should be fighting within the Democratic Party. Corporations have taken over our country. Hello, wake up, Hal.
End of messages.
Just because gas prices are low doesn't mean our troubles are over. Mother Nature's getting hot under the collar, our economy is in the toilet, and we're spending billions overseas to fill our tanks. Both kinds. Did you know local people have sold locally made fuel on the Central Coast since 2002? At the Green Station, our biodiesel is ASTM approved and is made from restaurant fryer oil collected right here. Did you know that electric cars were first built in the 1830s? Almost 200 years later, and our government still has plenty of money for oil wars, but not enough to jumpstart our renewable energy economy. 70% of all car trips in America can be done in a neighborhood electric vehicle. This will help save our planet and save you money. Zen neighborhood electric cars are at the Green Station now, and they can be charged by the sun. From local biodiesel to electric cars, bikes, and scooters, renewable transportation and a more peaceful world are just a call away. Call the Green Station today in Santa Cruz at 831-425-9100. Major credit cards are now accepted. That's 831-425-9100. Again, that's 831-425-9100.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Inauguration. And it combines with the delight of saying bye-bye Bush, bye-bye Cheney, and bye-bye David Addington.
This is how we do it. It's Friday night.
Well, it's not quite Friday night, Montel. You better update us on that. David Cobb returns to our program today, and I'm pleased to announce that he has agreed to become a regular contributor to the Peter B. Collins Show. David is a co-founder, I think, of Democracy Unlimited in Humboldt County. And as we mentioned, he was the Green Party's candidate for president in 2004 and provided a distinct service to the nation in that role because he triggered the partial recount that helped us understand the extent to which the election was stolen from John Kerry in Ohio in 2004. David, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Peter. It's such a pleasure to be on your show. And I, too, am very excited to be joining as a regular contributor to this important radio broadcast.
Well, when I've been in Eureka for live broadcasts, you have been kind enough to come over, and you've talked with us on many occasions. And I just find you very bright and a true progressive. And as we head into this administration, I think it's really important for progressive voices to be heard, because this bipartisan, postpartisan thing in many ways kind of limits the role that those who really are responsible for the rise of Barack Obama should enjoy in this incoming administration.
Peter, I'm so glad you said it, and exactly how you said it. Let's be clear. Progressives are responsible for nominating Barack Obama. Progressives are responsible for electing Barack Obama. And that is really virtually unarguable. It was Barack Obama's early and vocal opposition to the immoral, unconstitutional, and illegal war in Iraq that vaulted him into prominence. It was Barack Obama's pledges to call for single-payer universal health care. It was Barack Obama's promise to engage in real environmental protection. I mean, it was the clarion call of the progressive values that launched his campaign. And I really want to say this. On the every pundit is talking about Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which, of course, we celebrate today, how tomorrow we will elect our first African-American president in history. And you know, we should applaud that. This is an incredibly profound event, and I am celebrating along with everybody else. But, Peter B., let's be clear. Barack Obama's inauguration is not so much a victory as it is an opportunity.
Yep.
It's an opportunity for us to begin to recast America. And honestly, I am very, very nervous because the words that I'm hearing about a new day, a new chapter, these are the same words I remember hearing when Bill Clinton came into office after the 8 years of Ronald Reagan and the misery that that administration visited upon the American people. And, of course, we know where Bill Clinton took this country. And frankly, it's in large part because progressives did not stand up and demand unambiguously the kind of programs and policies that would reflect the best interest of this country.
Well, and David, I've expressed this, that my aspirations are that Obama's efforts take hold. And if we can reduce or eliminate the virulent partisanship that has racked Washington, D.C. for so many years, that'd be great. But I don't see the Republicans laying down their arms. I don't see the conservatives giving up or just going quietly into the night and say, well, yeah, we'll return in 4 or 8 years. In the meantime, take care of business.
Right. And, Peter B., that's the point, right? I mean, what I want to see is civil discourse. However, that doesn't mean that we all just sort of compromise to the point of mushy nothingness. It means let's have honest, civil debate and dialogue on what the values of this country are and, more importantly, what policies, what legislation, what kind of judicial appointments would best reflect that? And I will say that so far the cabinet that's shaping up in the Obama administration doesn't bode well for us, which is why all the more we have to unambiguously assert what we expect out of this president.
Yeah, Hilda Solis is really the only out progressive in a critical position to help progressives, in my view.
We got one appointment.
That's Labor Secretary,
correct,
by the way, for people who don't have a scorecard.
Sometimes I forget, Peter B., that not everyone's the political junkie that you and I are. But something tells me that your listeners probably know, and I will tell you, I am proud to say not only am I joining this program on a semi-regular basis, I'm a regular listener here on KGOE, where you're heard on 1480 AM,
mm-hmm.
And it's a hell of a show that you do day in and day out.
Well, I really appreciate that, David, and I'm going to shuffle off right now. We'll talk to you again tomorrow during our special broadcast, and then we'll inaugurate every other week visit with you starting in February.
I'm looking forward to it, Peter B.
David Cobb, pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Bye now.
All right. Joining me now is Lisa Gilbert, the Democratic advocate with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group. They're on the web at uspirg.org. Lisa, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. How are you today?
Doing very well. It's an exciting time in D.C.
Well, it certainly is. Tell me what is on your agenda, and let me just tip you off. We're a progressive radio show, and we just had David Cobb. You may have heard part of his conversation. And while we're excited that Barack Obama and Democrats are regaining control in Washington, D.C., we feel like the tractor tug that needs to come alongside this ship and try to move it a little bit on a course to the left. So tell me what's on your agenda at PIRG.
Absolutely. Well, I work mainly on money and politics, additionally work on election reform. And the big things that we're going to be working on in the 111th Congress are public financing and then automatic voter registration.
Mm-hmm.
So public financing, as I'm sure you know, is a big debate right now, as Obama turned down the presidential public financing system, which many see as the death knell of the system. But however, in the same breath, he promised to reform it into a workable system that fits with the way campaigns are actually financed now.
Now, Lisa, with election reform, what about hand-counted paper ballots? That is the state of the art. We've got to get rid of these privately controlled electronic voting machines. Do you agree?
It's definitely an issue. Something that we think will solve the problem even more quickly, though, is making sure that more people are registered. We certainly take the position that it's important to have a system that works when you actually get to the polls. But even more important, we think that the key thing that most Americans are facing before they even get there is knowing whether they're registered and where they're registered.
Mm-hmm.
So automatic voter registration is actually a system that will enable people to use a lot of the systems that are already in place in the state, some of which are already required. So when you go to a DMV, your information gets transmitted to the state voter rolls. Mm-hmm. We'd just be adding in additional sources for that to be able to happen.
Okay.
So, you know, if you go to change your address, if you're moving within the state, when you mm-hmm. go to the post office, that will actually get uploaded to the state voter rolls.
Very good. Well, Lisa, thanks for your work. We're out of time in this segment, but I appreciate you joining me on the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Yeah, thank you.
That is Lisa Gilbert with U.S. Public Interest Research Group on the web, USPIRG.org. More coming up on the Peter B. Collins Show. IBEW is the proud sponsor of our progressive coverage of the historic Obama inauguration, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. 750,000 strong is poised to contribute to President Obama's plans for a green economy and our new energy future. Our members are the skilled workforce with the most experience in solar and wind turbine installation, and we have the training programs to supply the skilled labor for our green future. The IBEW is on the front lines, the power lines, of the fight for clean energy, from small commercial jobs to massive alternative energy projects, from the Atlantic to the Pacific. The IBEW has a proven track record of professional, high-quality solar and wind installation. Visit our website at IBEW.org. And thanks to every IBEW member who helped bring a new day to Washington. IBEW, helping to transform America's energy.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A Martin Luther King Day with special meaning.
Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty! Free at last!
As Barack Obama prepares to become president.
I am not going to make a long speech. I've got to save all my best lines for tomorrow.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Many believe Dr. King's dream, articulated in that famous speech at the Lincoln Memorial in 1963, will be fulfilled tomorrow when Barack Obama delivers his inaugural speech on the steps of the Capitol. Today, 2,000 people packed Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, their eyes on the prize in Washington.
I feel so good about it because my grandfather was a part of that era. And if he was here alive, he'd be very proud of America. As a teenager, like, it feels real good because you see a change in the world and you see white, different, many races coming together, you know, to celebrate.
At the Capitol, an orchestra rehearsed for tomorrow's inaugural ceremony. All day, people poured into town.
This is Kimberly Dozier at Union Station, where I'm having to stand off to the side to get out of the way of all the crowd. There's not a lot of room, so you tend to bump into people, but everyone is in such a great mood. It's like nobody minds, there are no ugly looks, and they're all just trying to help each other get to wherever they're going.
I'm Steve Kathan on the National Mall.
Souvenirs, souvenirs.
There are vendors with Obama gear on every corner. How's business?
It's okay. I mean, it could be better, but I'm quite sure it's going to pick up as time progresses.
Tour buses line the streets. There are rows and rows of porta-johns and so many people here taking in the spectacle before the big day.
This is just marvelous, just amazing.
This has been awesome. Exciting.
Tomorrow they'll see history firsthand. Steve Kathan, CBS News on the National Mall, Washington.
More after this.
Buying a good used car is all about having the right information and facts. And if it's a Honda certified used car, well, it just got a whole lot easier. Because now you can find out the history, mileage, and the price of the Honda you're looking for without leaving your home. Simply go online and search Google or Yahoo for Honda certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make the right choice. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
So the other morning, I get an email from Moe's, my absolute favorite deli, whose pastrami I would actually kill for, which is probably why I gave him my email in the first place. Anyway, I'm like, wow, Moe's sending emails with coupons and photos? I want to bite my computer screen. Then it hits me. Eggs and pastrami hash for breakfast.
Email marketing from ConstantContact.com helps showcase your business, just like Mo. There's even free phone support with real life people. Get a free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com.
Barack Obama paid tribute to Martin Luther King by encouraging Americans to get involved in community service.
Don't underestimate the power for people who join together to accomplish amazing things.
More from CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer. In an informal preview of his inaugural message, President-elect Obama says, given the crisis facing the nation, everyone will have to pitch in. He grabbed a paint roller for a Martin Luther King Service Day project at a homeless shelter for Washington, D.C. teens. As edgy agents and staffers watched, he climbed up on a stepladder to help yank a curtain rod from a wall of a room being renovated. Mr. Obama recalled his days as a teenage painter and joked that he'd stay away from any electrical or plumbing work today. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Washington.
This evening, Mr. Obama speaks at three separate dinners, one honoring his former rival John McCain, another for Colin Powell, and a third for Vice President-elect Joe Biden. Biden's wife, Jill, made a slip today when they appeared on the Oprah Winfrey Show.
Joe had the choice to be Secretary of State or Vice President. And I said,
Sound courtesy of Harpo Productions. Her husband tried to shush her, but it was too late. Biden's spokeswoman has put out a statement saying Mr. Obama offered Biden one job only, to be his running mate. The outgoing president has commuted the sentences of Ignacio Ramos and Jose Compion, two former U.S. Border Patrol agents who shot a Mexican drug dealer and then tried to cover it up.
We're told President Bush believes that Ramos and Compion received a fair trial and were justly convicted of serious crimes. But he agreed with members of Congress and others who found their prison terms of over 10 years each to be excessive. The White House points out the two men will remain convicted felons and carry the shame of their actions for the rest of their lives.
CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports Mr. Bush spent the day making farewell calls to world leaders. Tonight he has a quiet family dinner with his wife, daughters, and parents. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
OfficeMax believes that in this economy, small businesses should get all the perks that big businesses get, which is why we're calling small businesses like Pink Mullet Salon.
Thanks for choosing Pink Mullet. This is Jess.
Hi. Well, I'm calling from OfficeMax, and we want to do a free national radio commercial for your salon right now.
Awesome.
All right. Why should we go to the Pink Mullet Salon?
So Pink Mullet is kind of like trying to create its own little niche for something that's a little bit more edgy, but still, you know, very well-trained professionals that work here.
Nice. You ever shave somebody's head and say, maybe you should just start over?
Yeah, I call that the hand of justice.
Ah! Pink Mullet Salon, home of the hand of justice.
That's right.
Wow, that is fabulous. All right, my friend, I will see you at the Pink Mullet Salon.
All right, thank you so much.
Small businesses. Join the Max Perks Rewards Program at OfficeMax, and you'll earn rewards that can be redeemed like cash. And right now, OfficeMax will give you 25% bonus rewards when you use your Max Perks card on big brands like Sharpie, Avery, and Post-its. Restrictions apply. See store for details. Promotion ends June.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Our special coverage of the historic inauguration of President Barack Obama, sponsored by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. They're on the web at IBEW.org. IBEW is ready for our green energy future. This is Bono the Edge, Larry and that other guy. You two rocked them live yesterday in Washington. And Bono didn't disappoint. He came through as the even-handed peacenik, calling for peace for Israel and peace for Palestine. Good for you, Bono. In just a moment, Eric Bollert will join us from Media Matters for America. They're on the web at MediaMatters.org. But I got some callers who've been holding for too long. And first up, it's Brian in Manchester, New Hampshire, within range of our powerhouse Boston affiliate, AM 1510 WWZN. Hello. How you doing, Brian?
Hi, Peter. And I also wanted to say that the Episcopal bishop, the good bishop there, for Eugene Robinson, is from the New Hampshire Episcopal Diocese.
That's right.
He's also an openly gay bishop, a good holy man for all you, all the Proposition 8 know-nothing fascist out there. He's really, he delivered a great speech there. And I just wanted to add quickly, I disagree a bit with Mr. Cobb there. I think that another good appointment, I think is going to work out to be a great appointment, I'm trying to be positive about this, is Eric Holder as Attorney General. And I do believe that he will, once he goes over this FISA bill, he will realize that just review by the Inspectors General of the Security Agency is not enough for this bill. He'll have a new, highly technological, updated FISA court that will be reenacted. And Obama is such a thinking man that I think he'll go along with that. We are returning to at least somewhat to the direction of a lawful constitution obeying America. But I have one other question. If anybody out there, if you have any holiday lights still up there, we had so many storms here in New Hampshire with snow on top of snow, haven't had a chance to take my lights down, but put them on tonight for January 19th into January 20th. It's the new Christmas, the new rebirth of America, hopefully. And keep them on, your holiday lights, folks, anywhere in the country until January 21st, the early morning hours, and keep hope alive for America.
All right, I haven't taken all mine down yet, Brian, so I'm going to honor your request, and when I get home tonight, I'll flip them on.
Take care.
All right, thank you for the call. Also to Michael in Arcata. Hello, Michael, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, let me take you out of speakerphone here.
All right, don't get into Bluetooth hell. There we go.
Oh, okay. Hey, I think in response to the Green Party candidate that was on before.
David Cobb, yeah.
I think... The progressive left has been working all along. Barack's election is, I think, fruits of this. The thing is that the main group of progressives, the group represented by the Greens, used to be represented by the Peace and Freedom Party and the anti-war parties when I was first getting involved. But they're always on the side because they're not members of the Democratic Party. And as a progressive who's actually been in the Democratic Party all along, I just want to invite all the Greens to just, you know, take it over. Please join us. I think we would easily be able to take control of the party in much the same way that the conservatives took control, the religious right took control of the Republican Party, which is far more strongly controlled from the top. Democratic Party's ripe for the picking.
Well, I'll tell you what, Michael, let me take this under advisement. We're going to talk to David Cobb twice a month now going forward, and I'll raise that with him the next time we speak. The other point I would make is I'd like to see the Green Party focus on getting 5 or maybe 10 seats in the House of Representatives, because they could become the swing vote faction there that could really become helpful on critical issues in the future. And that's the way I see them building density and building a political base. But I hear what you're saying, and I'll discuss that with David the next time I talk to him, okay?
All right.
All right, good to hear from you, Michael. Appreciate your call from Arcata today. Eric Bowler joins me now from MediaMatters.org. That's Media Matters for America. How you doing, Eric?
Good, and you, Peter?
Not too bad. I think it's 17 hours or a little less until the changeover, so I'm feeling better about it. How about you?
Yeah, should be amazing.
I want to talk about your piece because you've been busting myths lately, and I want to give you credit because you did incredible work back in November busting the myth of the $75 or $76 an hour auto worker in Detroit.
Right.
And you're at it again. You're busting the myth promoted by Fox and other news channels that this inauguration is costing far more than previous ones.
Yeah, this is now everywhere. It's actually the main headline on Drudge right now, but we've seen it on MSNBC and Fox and Associated Press and things like that. People are probably familiar with this number. The number is between 150 million and 170 million. ABC News Online did a big story that Drudge linked to today saying it's $170 million. And a lot of the news outlets are comparing that to the cost of the Bush inauguration in January 2005 and claiming that was $42 million. And, oh, my gosh, well, how on earth would you triple or quadruple the cost of an inauguration? What's going on here? We're in a recession, and why are we spending all this money? And it's a classic apples and oranges. The very large inflated number of 150 or 160 million, that's the cost of the inauguration, including the estimated security cost. No one really knows what they're going to be yet, but the estimate between the federal and the state Maryland, Virginia, District of Columbia, the federal government, will end up spending, combined with what Obama has raised, $42 million for the parties and the festivities, people are combining that number to come up with $160 million. But for years, whenever anyone talked about the cost of an inauguration, security costs were never included. And so when they talk about Bush spent $40 million in 2005, that doesn't include security. So it's a classic apples and oranges. People are saying Obama's is going to cost $160 million. That's parties plus security. But, oh, my gosh, Bush only spent $40 million. Well, that's not security. And I found that if you factor in what the government, federal government, spent on security for George Bush in 2005, that final tally comes out to $157 million, almost exactly what people are projecting that Obama's going to spend.
Now, there's some interesting apples and oranges, too, when we talk about the cost of security. On the one hand, Obama loves spectacle, and he loves the big crowds. He was reveling in the Lincoln Memorial pre-inaugural concert on Sunday, and it was a great show. I got to give everybody credit, including the HBO producers. It just was very powerful, evocative, and beautifully done. Is the fact that he's drawing several million people, possibly more than Bush attracted in 2005, is that a factor that does cause the security cost to go up?
Well, that's what's interesting. Again, we won't know what the final Obama federal security cost will be probably until April when they tabulate everything. But even if it did end up, parties plus security being $160 million, if it did end up being essentially the same as the Bush inauguration, that would be extraordinary for two reasons. A, inflation. Bush's inauguration in real dollars today cost $170 or almost $180 million. And B, the Bush inauguration attracted 300,000 people, and they're talking about tomorrow between 1 and 2 million.
Mm-hmm.
So that you would say, my gosh, what did Bush spend all that money on security? But if you think back, the inauguration was very closely tied to his whole war on terror theme. He was a wartime president. They had Humvees, they had snipers on the roof, they were sealing manhole covers. I mean, they turned Washington, with a relatively very small crowd, into an absolute armed fortress. And I think if Bush spent and the federal government spent on security in 2005 the same as what they're going to spend on Obama for a celebration that's going to be vastly larger, that would be an amazing comparison. That really would highlight the extraordinary sort of militaristic overtone that the Bush administration used in 2005.
Now, it's probably not a good idea to discuss actual specific security measures in detail in advance of an event like this, because I want everybody to come through it unscathed. But are they doing the same things? Are they welding manhole covers? I read an account that there are security people who will actually be in those sewers, so I hope they don't weld them in there.
Yeah, right. I think I have heard described as unprecedented security. I think it just seems to be a slightly different kind of security. I mean, Bush in 2005 was literally, the vibe was like, we're gonna shoot down the incoming missiles that Al-Qaeda is going to shoot onto the Lincoln Memorial. I mean, we are at war. This is a wartime city. We're going to clamp down like it's a war. This unprecedented security is suggesting the crowds like D.C. hasn't seen in decades, and B, it being, historic first African-American president, everyone wants everything to go smoothly. So I think there is an argument that there is pretty extraordinary precautions and securities for this event. But, A, I mean, just the logistics alone, the transportation, the states involved, it completely dwarfs anything that the federal government did in 2005. And again, if we're talking about security costs, people are saying it's basically going to cost the same, which would be extraordinary given how much larger the Obama celebration is going to be.
Yeah, very interesting. We're going to take a break and return with Mythbuster, Eric Bollert. Read his column at MediaMatters.org. That's MediaMatters.org. You got a question or a comment? You can bring it on now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Good afternoon, everyone, and happy Martin Luther King Day. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. We've got a lot going on this afternoon. Right now in Salinas, we have a moving roadway hazard on the northbound 101 just south of Barondo Road. And in Santa Cruz, we have a few incidents happening. There is a report of a brush fire on Soquel San Jose Road at Soquel Drive. And on Highway 9 at Highway 236, there is a traffic collision with an ambulance responding. We also have a pair of traffic hazards. The first one is on the northbound 1, just south of Buena Vista Drive. There's a large piece of rubber between lanes 1 and 2. And on Beach Road at Shell Drive, there's a large big rig blocking the roadway. In weather, we're having another extraordinary day with lots of sunshine and warm temperatures across the Tri-County area. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great afternoon and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
So bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad. Now we're all in danger.
Clock's running less than 17 hours.
He come around up to no good. Broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood. Got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout.
We'll all feel better in the morning. That's Yikes McGee from Baltimore. He gave me that song in 2004. And finally, the morning when we're all going to feel
better? Well, tomorrow will be one step, but Wednesday, yeah, we can really feel better. Eric Bollert with us from Media Matters for America on the web at MediaMatters.org. And Eric, another post that you and JMO, Jameson Fozer, put up at the County Fair blog is about the Bush Legacy Tour. And the way the media once again just laid down as stenographers and said, you say it, we'll report it. And let me just summon one in particular that galls me, and that is Jim Lehrer's exit interview with Dick Cheney. Because Cheney recited the same disproven and discredited so-called terrorist threats that he has been using for the last 3 or 4 years. And Jim Lehrer didn't bat an eye and say, well, you know, that liquid bomber thing wasn't all it was cracked up to be. And, well, you know, that attempt to hit a skyscraper in Los Angeles has been debunked by your own FBI. I mean, he just sat there and let Cheney spin, dissemble, and ultimately lie.
Yeah, no, it's never been, for years, it's never been their goal, really, to call them out. I mean, these particularly the Sunday morning shows, I wrote about it also when Condoleezza Rice sort of did her round of farewell interviews. I mean, it really is just like this completely phony kabuki dance. You know, she shows up. They ask questions about Iraq. She says, well, if he didn't have WMDs, or gosh, I wish the intel was better, or we fixed the process where the intelligence now gets to the White House. And the host just sort of, you know, and then they dance on to another topic.
Well, for example, with Rice,
Yeah. She
was at the National Security Council. She was put in charge of the occupation and reconstruction of Iraq. And under her watch, it went way south,
right. And
she got a promotion. And they've never asked her about that since.
That's a whole separate topic. I mean, the press coverage that Condoleezza Rice gets is mind-boggling. And no one can ever... She's on TV, the Sunday talk shows, all the time. No one can, it's literally like a pact. No one can ever ask her a pointed follow-up question. It's been going on for years, and she just sort of dances across the landscape, and we're supposed to sort of see her as this, you know, serious diplomatic person. But, you know, in her exit interviews, she just sort of mouths these same things about Iraq, and then she and George Stephanopoulos or Chris Wallace, they dance on to the next topic, and they all... you know, say goodbye at the end of the interview. I mean, it doesn't reflect journalism, and there's no new information coming out. It literally is just sort of this sort of performance. And Jim Lehrer is the same thing with Dick Cheney. I mean, either Jim Lehrer literally doesn't pay attention to the national debate about, you know, security and terrorism over the last 8 years, or he does know what Dick Cheney is total nonsense, and he's just not interested. What's amazing is if you go back to 8 years ago, and when the Clintons were leaving the White House, if you go back and read some of the columns and read what was said on TV, the amount of just unvarnished hatred that the pundits were expressing to the Clintons, a lot of it was sparked by the last minute of pardon controversy,
mm-hmm.
but just the unvarnished hatred they had for the Clintons and the way they just unleashed it during January of 2001, and, of course, Clinton was leaving with a 60-cent approval rate. And you look at this very reserved sort of shrug of their shoulders that they're expressing towards George Bush as he leaves with a 25% approval rating. It's really amazing. I mean, the press was so much angrier at Bill Clinton about impeachment than this press is over George Bush about the Iraq War or, you know, the collapse of the economy.
Well, on the economy, too, they basically just let him get away with saying, well, I started with a recession, I ended with a recession.
Yeah.
And he kind of acted like his tax cuts and the Enron-style accounting for the war costs and all that had nothing to do with the implosion of our economy.
Yeah. He really was. I mean, if you listen to the interviews, Bush really was just sort of this observer. In the Iraq War, in Katrina, in the economy, in the deficit, all these things happened, but he tried his best, you know, and some things didn't work out, but what are you going to do? That was literally like, you know, that really was sort of the Beltway media collective farewell to George Bush. You know,
and Eric,
he tried, but it just didn't really work out.
Nobody even suggested that the failures are an indictment of the neoconservative worldview.
And here's my favorite part. You know, there's this ongoing discussion about whether there should be prosecution of the Bush administration, if there should hold hearings. And, you know, Politico, this Beltway, you know, news outlet, did this story this week about how it was really bizarre that Democrats just couldn't let George Bush go. And you know, I thought Democrats wanted him out of town, but now they want to hold hearings. And what, you know, the inference was what kind of fanatics hold hearings after the president has left town? And I go back to the pardon, you know, the pardon scenario. Republicans were holding hearings into March of 2001.
Yeah.
You know, but today, if Democrats even think about holding, you know, these Republicans accountable, they're fanatics.
Eric, thanks for your work. Keep busting those myths, will you?
I'll talk to you soon.
Eric Bollert, MediaMatters.org. Coming up next, a portion of Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Maybe anything is possible. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. How many times have you heard the In America, Anything is Possible speech on Martin Luther King Jr. Day and dismissed it? But now, well, I go back to the speech Barack Obama delivered when the sound bites of an angry Jeremiah Wright were being played over and over.
That anger is not always productive. It keeps us from squarely facing our own complicity within the African-American community in our own condition. It prevents the African-American community from forging the alliances it needs to bring about real change. But the anger is real. It is powerful. And to simply wish it away, to condemn it without understanding its roots, only serves to widen the chasm of misunderstanding that exists between the races.
He actually asked white voters to understand black anger. And then he asked black voters to understand white anger.
And yet to wish away the resentments of white Americans, to label them as misguided or even racist, without recognizing they are grounded in legitimate concerns, this too widens the racial divide and blocks the path to understanding.
He handed out all sorts of potential ammunition to his opponents in that speech, and yet this nation elected him president, and elected him at a time when he will, in fact, not be judged by the color of his skin, but by whether he fixes a broken economy. Now this.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I design and sell my very own line of baby clothes. When I started my business, I knew how to make the baby clothes, but I didn't really know the business side of things. And it became very clear that I needed help. So I'd heard about Intuit QuickBooks, you know, that small business software, and thought, that's just what I need. Then I saw I could try it for free, and you know what? It's been great, totally easy to use, and it's helped me avoid a lot of growing pains.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. In his remaining days in office, President Bush has attempted to revise his troubled legacy, and it seems the media has been complicit in helping him. Following Bush's farewell address, the Washington Post uncritically reported that the administration's aggressive and controversial program of detention and aggressive interrogation and surveillance was central to keeping America safe, even adding Bush's assertion that, quote, there can be little debate about the results. America has gone more than 7 years without another terrorist attack on our soil. The Post, however, did not acknowledge that the Government Accountability Office report released in 2008 found that the U.S. has not met its national security goals to destroy terrorist threats and close safe havens in Pakistan. Nor did they note that several CIA analysts believe the lack of terrorist attacks on U.S. soil can be attributed to circumstance, and not necessarily this administration's policies. For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
The $64,000 question.
I've got a word or two to say about the things that you do.
Hi, it's Bob Oliver with the Quantum Leap and the $64,000 question. Where do you go to get a free checking account, no minimum balance, and they give you free money? And the answer is Wachovia Bank. In the Sand Dollar Shopping Center in Sand City, across from Borders. Wow, I got a lot of advertising in there. Remember, you're going to get money, free money, just by mentioning my name, Bob Oliver, at Wachovia Bank. Free money, free checking, and no minimum balance. Think for yourself.
Just 'cause I was in love with you.
the Quantum Leap, and KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's our special coverage leading up to the inauguration of Barack Obama. I've got room for your phone calls in this segment. You can join me with your comments at 888-5-PETER-B.
I went out walking through streets paved with gold. Lifted some stones, saw the skin and bones of a city without a soul. I went out walking under an atomic sky, where the ground won't turn and the rain it burns like the tears when I said goodbye. Yeah, I went with nothing, nothing but the thought of you. I went wandering.
That's the late, great Johnny Cash teaming up with U2. It's a track called The Wanderer. 34 minutes into the hour, and a little bit later this hour, we are scheduled to talk with Mark Brzezinski. He is the son of Zbigniew Brzezinski, and also a top foreign policy advisor to the Obama transition. To my knowledge, he does not have an appointment in the incoming administration. But I want to talk with him in particular about the Afghanistan policy, which does link to the work his father did as the National Security Advisor to Jimmy Carter back there in the 1970s. Today is a national holiday. It's the day we observe the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. And it was quite fitting that the inaugural concert took place in front of the Lincoln Memorial. You're about to hear an excerpt from his famous I Have a Dream speech, which was delivered there at the Lincoln Memorial, across from the Washington Monument and that reflecting pool that many of us know so well. Before we get to Dr. King's speech, I'm going to play a little somber music from John Coltrane. Coltrane wrote this song called Alabama to the cadence of the eulogy that Dr. King delivered for four young Negro women, as they were called at the time, who were killed in Alabama in the early 1960s. And over the weekend, I had a chance to listen to the speech that Martin Luther King gave just 24 hours before he was assassinated in Memphis in April of 68. And it's chilling to hear him talk about his own demise as if he'd been tipped off that he had 24 hours to live. And if you ever have a chance to hear that speech, I certainly recommend it to you.
Rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners, will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood? I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream.
Martin Luther King, the I Have a Dream speech, August 28th, 1963. Has the dream been realized? In case you joined us in the middle there, you can watch the entire I Have a Dream speech, at least the excerpts that I lifted that from, at bradblog.com. And I commend my friend Brad Friedman for posting that on this important day. It's great to see Stevie Wonder among the artists at the Lincoln Memorial on Sunday. And it was also pretty cool to hear them sing that song about Let Freedom Ring. And while I don't think the dream has been completely realized, we certainly have made some progress, and there's a lot more work to do. What's interesting to see is the mood of the nation, as measured by a New York Times CBS poll that was published Sunday. This is fascinating. The question has been put over the last five presidencies, six actually, sorry. Are you generally optimistic or pessimistic about the next 4 years with blank as president? Jimmy Carter, 70% were optimistic. Ronald Reagan, 69%. George Bush Sr., 68%. Bill Clinton, 70%. George W. Bush, the low earner there, at 64%. And Barack Obama, 79%. 79% of the public said they are generally optimistic. And about 38%, well, let me see, if we had 38 and 17, what do you get? 55? About 55% total say it'll take 1 to 2 years for the Obama administration to show real progress in fixing the nation's economy. 22% think there will be progress in ending the war in Iraq in the first year, 39% in the second year. And people are pessimistic about extending affordable health care to all Americans. 9% say it'll happen in the first year, 26% in the second year, 20% in the third year. But, let's see, 22% say it'll never happen. Won't be able to. So those are interesting measures, I think, of the mood of the American public as Barack Obama prepares to take the oath of office in Washington on Tuesday. We'll take a break and return for more here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And be sure to tune in for our all-day coverage tomorrow. If you listen to one of our West Coast affiliates, you can get the stream online at 1510thezone.com. That's our Boston affiliate. And we'll be covering, once Obama takes the oath of office, we'll pick up from our colleague Jeff Santos, who will do the pre-inaugural coverage, and bring you some very interesting progressive voices all day long tomorrow on the Peter B. Collins Show. Again, to catch the alternate stream from Boston, it's 1510thezone.com. We'll take a break and be right back. You want to join me? Lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B. The Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill, and Nick Tannen is taking your calls and trying to keep the dog quiet today.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon and happy Martin Luther King Day. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. We're going to begin with Santa Cruz. We have a traffic collision on southbound Highway 17 just north of Ocean Street. And on the northbound one at State Park Drive, we have a spin-out pickup truck on the right-hand shoulder. Also in Santa Cruz, on Beach Road at Shell Drive, that large big rig is still blocking the roadway there. And weather, it's another beautiful day for the Central Coast and the inland. King City is 77 degrees right now. Monterey is 76. And Salinas and Santa Cruz are both 77 degrees. Well, that's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a fantastic afternoon, everyone. And stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Space, the final frontier. Knowing the truth, the ultimate frontier. Quantum Leap and KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Yeah, there's something in the air. Our special coverage of the historic inauguration of President Obama, sponsored by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. They're on the web at IBEW.org. IBEW, ready for our green energy future. Radio Row, we're joined by Bob Nash, the former White House personnel director in the Clinton years, and he was also deputy campaign manager for Senator Hillary Clinton. Bob, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be on your show.
Well, first of all, as White House personnel director back there in the Clinton years, I'm just curious what you think the incoming team looks like for the Obama administration, and do you think everybody's going to get along?
Well, I think that President-elect Obama has selected so far a very good team of capable, competent, committed people, a good mix of people who were in the Clinton administration plus people who were along with him in school or in Chicago, and I'm very impressed with. He's only selected a small percentage of them. He'll have about a total of about 6,000 positions over 4 years to fill, but if the current picks are any indication of what it's going to be like, he's going to do a very, very good job.
Now, are all of the feathers that got ruffled during the campaign smoothed out? For example, I've heard that Greg Craig and Senator, soon-to-be Secretary of State Clinton, are still a little bruised over the side that Greg Craig took in the campaign last year.
Well, let me say this. I know Greg Craig, and I've worked with and for Hillary Clinton for over 30 years, and I know both of them care dearly about this country and want to be a part of what Barack Obama is trying to do. And I think that is first and foremost among anything else. So I do not expect to see any problem, nothing but cooperation as they try to tackle the very serious problems in this world.
We're talking with Bob Nash here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, Bob, you also have been in the banking business at South Shore Bank, and I'm aware of the reputation of South Shore, which really has been lending in minority communities, trying to break down the redlining that we felt in the 70s and the 80s. What is your perspective on the banking industry right now, and the extent to which community banks can help us recover our economic footing?
Well, let me tell you something. You do know Shore Bank. I mean, the comments you just made describe that bank, plus about 60 other community banks around the country. Those banks are all doing very well. They're doing very well because they invest money back into the community. They don't do these predatory loans. They know their community. They're loaning money for housing and small businesses and daycare and things that support the community. In fact, Shore Bank is in Barack Obama's state-owned state senate district. His state senate office was one block from the main office of Shore Bank. He's very familiar with it and is a strong supporter of community development banking. Money center banks, I think, got too far aflung with all these new fancy derivatives and options and these things that really got away from really serving the people and got into just making money only. And I'm not suggesting that banks don't make money. Shore Bank makes money, but they have a double bottom line. They do well and they do good.
Mm-hmm. And so how can we replicate that model? Because I'm distressed at the way we've already pumped $350 billion into the financial community. And the big banks are often sitting on that saying, well, it's a nice cash cushion. And as our stock value goes down, well, maybe we can pay out some bonuses. But they're not really getting the message that the idea is to retire the troubled loans, these problem loans that are ratcheting up and forcing people out of their homes.
Well, one of the things that I've heard President-elect Obama say is what we have to do is to make sure some of these dollars actually go to homeowners and not just to the corporate infrastructure of money-centered banking. And how we can do more of that is, you know, Shore Bank is in Detroit, Cleveland, Chicago, and Portland, Oregon, which is probably where you may know part of them from.
Yeah.
And what the federal government can do and the Treasury Department can do is invest more in community banks. They make a commitment to serve the community, and that's about making sure that they invest money back in for things that matter, like housing and daycare and small business.
Mm-hmm. And you think that is going to happen, or, for example, will the Republicans in the Senate throw another hissy fit and try to block the deployment of money really at the homeowner level instead of just bailing out the banks from the top?
I don't think they will. I mean, I'm an optimist, and I think Barack Obama has the support of the people. He will be reaching out across the aisle, and I just believe that there are more people who believe that we can do a better job than we have in the past. So I'm optimistic that Republicans and Democrats and the few independents we have will try to make sure that we do a serious job of reforming the banking industry so banking is for people and not just for the bankers.
And, Bob, one of the things that I've been looking for is when we see private money leave the sidelines and get back into the investment game. Warren Buffett is one of the few who was willing to put up $5 billion as the market was tanking. But so far, we see the private money still on the sidelines. They're waiting for government to ride this economy to the bottom. And then, after we socialize the losses, they'll get back in to try to privatize the profits. Do you see that same scenario?
Well, I think I do see some of that, but I will tell you this. I think what you're going to see are regulators doing a much better job of making sure that the public interest is protected. So I don't see us making the same kind of mistakes we've made in the past simply because we've made such big mistakes this time. The public is not going to allow it. President-elect Obama is not going to allow it. And I think most members of the Congress are not going to allow it. So I'm an optimist in this regard.
All right. And Bob Nash, tell me what you have soaked up so far in this inaugural process that really just is unforgettable for you.
Well, when I walk up and down the streets of around the Union Station and the U.S. Capitol and around the halls of Congress, I see an immense sense of optimism on the part of everybody. They feel like Barack Obama's going to do a great job. But even more than that, today on MLK Day and the Day of Service, people understand that Barack Obama cannot do it alone. So I see people on their own saying, I'm going to make sure that I'm healthy. I'm going to make sure that I'm educated. I'm going to make sure that I volunteer in my community. I'm going to make sure my kids go to school. So what I see is a big sense of optimism on the part of people I see here.
That's Bob Nash. He was White House Personnel Director during the Clinton years, Deputy Campaign Manager to Hillary Clinton as she ran for president. We're going to take a break and continue our special pre-inauguration coverage here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Dr. doctors have the American Medical Association. Corporations have their Chamber of Commerce. Lawyers have the American Bar Association. What do the working men and women of America have? Their unions. Unions allow individuals to band together so we can bargain as a united group with powerful employers for fair wages and decent health and pension benefits, using the same right to freedom of association and collective action that all other groups do. The rights of working people have been under assault, especially in the last 8 years. President Obama's inauguration marks a new era for workers. His new labor secretary, Hilda Solis, has actually worked union jobs, and President Obama has promised to sign the Employee Free Choice Act so America's workers get the full benefit of their rights. The men and women of IBEW invite you to join us in passing the Employee Free Choice Act. Find out more at IBEW.org. A message from the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A parade in New Orleans marked Martin Luther King Day, but rather than looking back at the slain civil rights leader's legacy, many are looking forward to the inauguration of the nation's first black president tomorrow, former Secretary of State Colin Powell.
There's excitement throughout the world that America has done this. A lot of people thought it wouldn't happen.
President-elect Obama spoke tonight at a Washington dinner honoring Powell. He also spoke earlier at a dinner for his former rival, Senator John McCain, and he'll appear this evening at a dinner for Vice President-elect Joe Biden. They'll be sworn in at the Capitol at noon tomorrow before what's expected to be a record crowd. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman reports.
The nation's capital is being flooded by tourists and well-wishers. The airports are jammed. So is the Capitol's main train station, Union Station. CBS News correspondent Kimberly Dozier is there.
There's not a lot of room, so you tend to bump into people.
This man is here from Raleigh, North Carolina, with his two children.
Especially for them to be able to be here. And 20, 30 years from now, for them to be able to say, I was there.
And this woman wants to witness history.
I'm very proud to be an American, especially an African American.
Steve Futterman, CBS News, Washington.
Today, Mr. Obama helped paint a wall at a shelter for homeless and runaway teenagers, and he urged all Americans to get involved in community service.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Sandy Spring, Maryland. Crunching leaves dusted with snow, volunteers tidied up an underground railroad trail here.
A pathway used by escaped slaves.
Overgrown with weeds.
I am lopping off wineberry bush, apparently getting in the way of the trails here.
Nancy Martin, one of the weed warriors, a mix of young and old, blacks, whites, and Hispanics, pitching in on one of the thousands of service projects undertaken around America today. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Sandy Spring, Maryland.
Security in Washington tomorrow will be extraordinary. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr spoke with Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff.
Officials say there is no known threat against President-elect Obama. But they recognize the inauguration is an attractive target.
There's no question that an African-American president will excite a certain small element of the population that's prejudiced or otherwise disturbed or have an axe to grind.
Critics say all of this security may be overkill. The Secret Service says it'll take that criticism, though, rather than risk having to explain why something important wasn't done.
President Bush had a final family dinner at the White House this evening after spending much of the day making farewell phone calls to world leaders. He also commuted the sentences of former U.S. Border Patrol agents Ignacio Ramos and Jose Campion, who shot a Mexican drug dealer and tried to cover it up. Republican Congressman Dana Rohrabacher of California took up their cause.
We can all celebrate today. Patriots can celebrate today that a wrong is being righted.
He says they were wrongly prosecuted. This is CBS News.
Hi, we're back with Worryline. Who are we talking with?
It's Cameron.
Cameron, what's worrying you today?
I'm freaking out.
Really? You don't sound like you're freaking out.
I know. That's what's freaking me out.
Okay, try and calm down.
I am calm.
So what's making you so calm? It's your mother, isn't it?
No, Mom's cool. It's my Volkswagen.
Oh.
It came with carefree maintenance.
And this has made you feel different, hasn't it?
Totally. Mm-hmm. I used to worry about my car all the time, but now I don't. What is happening to me?
I think you may be having an anti-anxiety attack.
A what?
Yes, it's an overwhelming sensation that everything is totally under control.
Okay, what do I do?
Nothing. There's no problem.
Cool. I guess I don't need you.
What?
Hello?
Stop into your local Volkswagen dealer and ask about the Carefree Maintenance Program. No charge scheduled maintenance for 3 years or 36,000 miles, whichever comes first, on all 2009 Volkswagen models. Peace of mind. It's what the people want.
The Carefree Maintenance Program covers the vehicle's scheduled maintenance during the terms of the new vehicle warranty at no additional charge. Some limitations apply. See dealer for details.
You've heard the horror stories about foreclosure, and now you're having trouble making the mortgage payment. To keep your house, experts advise early communication. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports.
Credit counselors have been saying it for months. If you're in trouble, call your lender early to avoid worse heartache down the road. But a lot of people still don't listen, and when they're asked why...
The response is, you know, they vary, but it's always... apprehension, fear of losing their house.
Richard Schramm at Consumer Credit Counseling Service in Orlando says when people do contact their mortgage companies quickly,
our ability to help those folks runs around 70%.
Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Police in Fort Pierce, Florida, went looking for 22-year-old Tawana Davis. She's charged with assault, making harassing phone calls, and carrying a concealed weapon without a permit. At the suspect's home, three people told officers Davis had left, but then a four-year-old girl piped up and said Davis was under the bed. She's held without bail. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Buying a good used car is all about having the right information and facts. And if it's a Honda-certified used car, well, it just got a whole lot easier. Because now you can find out the history, mileage, and the price of the Honda you're looking for without leaving your home. Simply go online and search Google or Yahoo for Honda certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make the right choice. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
So the other morning, I get an email from Moe's, my absolute favorite deli, whose pastrami I would actually kill for, which is probably why I gave him my email in the first place. Anyway, I'm like, wow, Moe's sending emails with coupons and photos? I want to bite my computer screen. Then it hits me. Eggs and pastrami hash for breakfast.
Email marketing from ConstantContact.com helps showcase your business, just like Mo. There's even free phone support with real live people. Get a free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime, toll-free, at 1-888-5-PETER-B, and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, our special progressive coverage of the historic inauguration of President Barack Obama is sponsored by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. They're on the web at IBEW.org. IBEW, ready for our green energy future.
I don't know what matters to you at this moment, but that's all that matters to me. How are you?
And in preparation for our special coverage of the inauguration on Tuesday, I want to remind our Boston listeners that your coverage starts at 6 a.m. on the Jeff Santos Morning Show. Jeff was live at Radio Row in Washington this morning. He'll be back at you from the Capitol Tuesday morning. And he'll anchor the coverage up through the swearing-in, and then I'll pick up the baton from there. And we've got a lot of great progressive voices that you'll hear react to the inauguration and offer their hopes and concerns about the incoming administration. And in order to get set up for that, I brought a TV in here, and I want to thank our neighbor Will, who lives next to our office building here, for letting me tap into his cable for a day or two. It is dangerous, though, because I put on the Fox Nut Channel and found out that I am devoid of humanity. I'll tell you why a little bit later this hour. Also later this hour, Earl Bender will join us from Washington. He is a political operator and consultant who will offer us some commentary. That's coming up a little later this hour. But joining me now is Dwayne Hunn, a tireless advocate for the American World Service Corps. And this is a day that the president-elect has designated as a day of service to try to underscore his commitment to expanding the opportunities for Americans to serve their country outside of the military. And Dwayne Hunn has been on the case for many years. I want you to go to their website at World Service Corps, C-O-R-P-S, worldservicecorps.us, where you can get more information. Dwayne, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you. And a special hello to your Boston 1510 people, who I hope will call Senator Kerry and Kennedy, whose staffs both know about the proposal.
Mm-hmm. Well, outline it for us briefly. What is your sketch of expanding these service opportunities?
Well, this is bigger and bolder than all of the national service proposals that are being discussed in Congress, and that's the big difference. Obama knows about it. He's written a personal letter saying these are the kind of ideas that inspire him on the campaign trail, and his staff has made phone calls back to talk about it. But here's the difference. This thing would produce 21 million Americans doing voluntary national service, peaceful, productive service, at home or abroad in their choice of such organizations as Peace Corps, AmeriCorps, Habitat, Doctors Without Borders, Head Start, Red Cross, International Rescue Committee, Oxfam, Mercy Corps, and State Conservation Corps, and you can add more to this list. And what the difference is in what's being offered is that most of the things that are being offered is saying double the size of the Peace Corps, triple the size of AmeriCorps, start some new civilian or green corps, and all of this could be done under existing organizations, both governmental and non-governmental, as I mentioned, and we could get into this problem without having to go through the tenacious debate and whether we should start a new this or that, and already use these existing organizations. Now, that 21 million number I mentioned, it gets to it by ramping up for the first 7 years by about 140,000 Americans per year. And I think with, you know, this tremendous movement that exists among Americans to serve their country and this push by Obama and everybody else, you could increase the size of those and other organizations by 140,000 per year for the next 7 years. By the seventh year, that means you have a million additional Americans serving at home or abroad, and then the legislation says you do not sunset it for 20 years. So in 27 years, you've changed the face of an uglier America, and you've raised the public policy IQ by getting Americans involved on needs at home and needs abroad. And as Mr. Nash was talking to you, and you were talking about economics in the previous segment, mm-hmm. you know, if we would have known, if we would have done this for 20 or 30 years, Americans would know through service, and they couldn't be hoodwinked by media coverage or lack of media coverage on the needs that exist in America and the needs that exist in the rest of the world. So by doing that, we could have saved, you know, $700, $800 billion, $1 trillion, $3 trillion, whatever we spent on the war.
Well, and Dwayne, I believe that if we sent people in service mode around the world, that we would be building relationships that would be much more positive and long-lasting than those that are forged at the end of a gun barrel. And I'm not trying to take a swipe at those who choose military service, but I think that we need people who represent the United States in different parts of the world and in different parts of our country who are not there in a military capacity.
Well, the interesting thing I find, Peter, having done this for several years now, is guys like General Wesley Clark, who supports this and has said so to my face, General Tony Zinni, who on camera said he supports it too, General Paul Monroe, who's the former commander of the California National Guard, retired now. But all of these guys think it ought to be bigger. And Charlie Brown, who ran for Congress in a very Republican district and he lost by just a little, mm-hmm. he was an ardent supporter. So these military guys get what you're saying, and they know that if they didn't have to do this nation building at the end of a gun barrel, they would have a lot easier job, and they want this thing to happen, too.
The other thing that I see is a broader range of opportunities for young Americans. For example, over the last few years, recruiting for the military has declined because people say, oh, if I join, I'll go to Iraq or Afghanistan, and that's not my first choice. But we have seen, as the economy declines, that recruiters are meeting their targets, despite the fact that, little has changed, that it's likely that if you join the military, you could end up in a war zone. And so I think that is an interesting indicator that if people are not finding work in the private sector. Young people appreciate the training and the college benefits that you get from serving in the military. And if we can parallel that in non-military public service positions, then I think it's a win-win scenario.
Yes, and when you say parallel and try to get them, our thing has money in it, and this, it has money to reward young people and middle-aged people. Actually, this is geared for 18 through 70-plus-year-olds, and we think 60-70% would be young people, but you got to get baby boomers and middle-agers and some retirees to come and help make this thing happen. But what you would get for doing the service is not as much as you'd get for putting your life on the line in the military, but you'd get your choice of. You'd get 2 years of community college plus 2 years of state college tuition paid, plus you'd get the same amount that a Peace Corps volunteer now gets as your cash in pocket, $225 per month served at the end of your service. That's just your cash and wallet. But, or you could take that cash equivalent and put it in your medical savings account or IRA account, or put that cash equivalent toward a home down payment, or put that cash equivalent, you could take that cash equivalent as a tax deduction if you're a rich dude and you want to go do something good for the country. And one of the ways we fund this, which is non-traditional, I mean, most people, when I speak for a longer period of time, the only negative reaction I get out of maybe 1% of the audience is the non-traditional funding mechanisms we have in the bill. One of them we call, we deal with the Forbes 400 Richest Americans, and the update that we're putting into the bill, which Congresswoman Woolsey is introducing in the House. We still don't have an original sponsor in the Senate, but Woolsey would like to have other original sponsors join her in the House, is we call for the, we list the Forbes 400 Richest Americans, and we want to do this with the richest Americans in the world also. That's what we're adding to the bill. And say, what have you given? We also use Forbes for our resource on this. It lists what they have given as charitable donations. Most of them have set aside 0 to 5% of their wealth as charitable donations. There are exceptions, like Gates and Buffett's and Moore and Turner and Soros. They've given big, big chunks of their wealth. But we're asking them if they would contribute a small amount of their money to make sure their kids and their grandkids' futures are safer and that the world economy is richer and you can make more money in that kind of economy. I think you probably, maybe you remember, you know what percentage of their wealth they would have to give to fund this 27-year project, putting 21 million Americans into service at home or abroad?
I don't know, but I'll bet you do, Dwayne.
Yeah. It's 1.7%. We call it the Forbes 2% solution, so it can have a little slack in there. Mm-hmm. But can you imagine if you could get the rich people of America, and that's why it differs, and I think maybe there's some hesitancy when I talk to staffs in Washington. They say, well, we don't know if you can do that. And I say, well, you're lawmakers. You can do that, and it's not forcing them to do anything. It just means that if millions of families were sending their kids or themselves to do work in the Peace Corps or Habitat or Doctors Without Borders under this umbrella, then they would go to the website and they'd see that Joe's, six-pack squared has $50 billion worth of wealth and he's given 1% to his alma mater, University of Texas, to build a football field. Well, could he increase that by 2%, which would go to an escrowed account just to be used to fund the rewards you give these World Service Corps volunteers for doing work in the world? I think there'd be a lot of people that would do that. If Oprah had that opportunity to send kids to her, to more volunteers to her schools, she would probably chunk in something. And if once you start getting some of them doing that, I think you'll get a lot of them doing it, and then you don't have to tax the American public. And the American public is now, I think, starting to feel that the very richest Americans have not paid their fair share. Mm-hmm. There's a way for them to voluntarily do it.
Now, Dwayne, you've got a lot of great information up. You've got a congresswoman willing to introduce this. You need a Senate sponsor, too. And I want to ask people to reach out to you. Go to your website at worldservicecorps.us. read the information there, and then send an email to Duane and offer to support this in a way that you can by contacting a senator or a member of Congress and by building grassroots support in your communities. And, Duane, I really appreciate what you're doing here. I personally know a handful of AmeriCorps Vista young volunteers who work very hard and get a lot of good experience in the process, and I would love to see this expanded. So I thank you for the work that you're doing, and I hope that this is a breakthrough year in the Congress for the proposals that you've been pushing.
Peter, when your friends and listeners go there, which I hope they do, they can also sign the online petition, which is another way to get through to us. But I appreciate your time. You're always on top of the good things.
All right. Duane Hunn, H-U-N-N, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Peter.
We'll take a break and return. I've got room for phone calls in the next segment. And then Washington insider Earl Bender will join us at the bottom of the hour. You know my number. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the moment last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last right here on KRXA 540. What you know when
I've come to work. Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
What would life be without flowers? It would be like a birthday cake with no candles, a wedding with no ring. It would be like a graduation without friends and relatives, a promotion without a raise. Thankfully, life is full of flowers and reasons to give them. In fact, sometimes the best reason is no reason at all. And all you have to do is stop by or call Ferrari Florists and Gifts. You see, flowers from Ferrari Florists and Gifts are more personal and special because whatever you're celebrating, we can create unique arrangements from a wide selection of fresh-cut flowers, and we can deliver them the same day. So you can enjoy life and even declare your love with flowers. Call Ferrari Florists and Gifts today at 460-7000 or visit our website at www.ferrariflorist.com. And we'll help you realize the true potential of flowers. Ferrari Florists and Gifts, 514 Front Street, Santa Cruz. Experts in the art of expression.
Good evening and happy Martin Luther King Day, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in Santa Cruz, we have a traffic collision with no further details on the northbound one at 41st Avenue. And on Beach Road at Chill Drive, there's a big rig that's still blocking the roadway. In weather, expect crystal clear skies this evening with lots of stars. Temperatures will be dropping down a little cooler to the low to mid 40s. Right now in Monterey and Salinas, it's 71 degrees, and Santa Cruz is 74 degrees. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a wonderful evening, everybody, and the Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
It's time for more
pink ribbon off my eye
on the Peter B. Collins Show.
And it's no big surprise. Don't you think I know exactly where I stand? This world is forcing me to hold your hand. Cause I'm just a girl, a little lonely. Well, don't let me out of your sight.
And your Washington weather forecast from the Peter B. Collins Show. Overnight, mostly cloudy and a low of 21 degrees. That's not bad. And Tuesday, snow flurries, high of 31. And at noontime during the inauguration, you should expect it to be in the upper 20s or low 30s. Sun returns on Wednesday, but who cares about that? Well, people, I think, are braced for the cold and ready for the conditions. The travel in Washington is going to be very difficult with the security lockdown for the inauguration. And based on what I experienced at the Democratic Convention in Denver, my concern is about the crowd control after the events wrap up. It was very difficult in Denver, and it was a nice summer night. You know, it took 90 minutes to go 100 yards. We were packed in like sardines. But it was a pleasant summer night, and nobody will, you know, was going to freeze there in Denver at that point. I don't know that people will freeze, but it could get very uncomfortable if the crowds don't move after the events take place. So I hope people are prepared for that, and it should be quite a day with an extra couple of million people on hand for the inauguration of Obama and Biden. Also, I told you that, one other thing I want to mention, that on Tuesday night, I will be joining our friends from my San Francisco affiliate, Green 960, at Yoshi's in Japantown. That's the new Yoshi's in San Francisco. It's a great spot, and we'll be there. I believe Johnny Steele is on the bill. Wes Nisker, Scoop Nisker, a longtime Bay Area progressive newsman, will be there, and other folks, too. It's going to be a great evening. And my friend Jay Thompson, the smooth jazz musician, will be performing live there and providing the music for this special inaugural party. So if you haven't already made plans, I hope you'll come out to see us at Yoshi's in San Francisco on inauguration night. And I'll certainly be ready to party because I'm going to do about 9 hours of radio broadcasting tomorrow. And by the time I get to Yoshi's, I will be ready to celebrate. I guarantee that. Well, earlier this hour, I mentioned that in preparation for tomorrow's coverage, I brought a TV set into the office. And generally, I don't have a TV on during the radio show because I find it very distracting. And it does cause me sometimes to miss breaking news, and I catch up with it the following day. I hope you're used to that. But I made a mistake about an hour ago, and I had the Fox Nuts on. And Bill O'Reilly was there. And you may know that over the weekend, Nancy Pelosi surprised a lot of us. Because after blocking impeachment, blocking censure, and essentially allowing just nibble-type investigations instead of anything deep that could lead to, say, criminal prosecutions, she surprised me and many, including conservative Republicans, over the weekend by saying that she favors a criminal investigation into the politicization of the Justice Department. Right on, Nancy. It's about time that you got on the same page with me and many other progressive radio people, progressive media people, and average citizens. Well, you see the reaction on the Fox News channel, and Bill O'Reilly intones, you know, the far left is devoid of humanity, and they just want to see some sort of vindictive witch hunt of Bush and Cheney. And coming from Bill, I'll take that as a badge of courage. I am devoid of humanity. What I want, Bill, is not a witch hunt. I want accountability. I want exposure of the wrongdoing that occurred. And what's interesting is O'Reilly brought on Dana Perino, the White House press secretary, for another 10 minutes, and Karl Rove, the discredited senior advisor and political brain of George W. Bush. And what are their talking points? Their talking points are that Pelosi can't afford an investigation like this because it could compromise her. And in chiming in with Dick Cheney, they note that she was briefed on the torture policies and the wiretapping policies. Well, this is more dissembling and conflation by the conservative right amped up by Fox News. Because, yes, I think Nancy Pelosi has exposure on wiretapping. I think she has exposure on detention and the whole treatment of the prisoners at Guantanamo Bay. They were briefed on that. To my knowledge, there is no evidence that Nancy Pelosi was ever briefed on the way Karl Rove and others were politicizing the Justice Department and ordering prosecutions to be conducted or dropped based on political considerations from Washington. So, Carl, Dana, Bill, you can dream all you want. But on this issue anyway, Pelosi doesn't have exposure. That's probably why she's calling for more investigation. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale with The Sheila Show, Saturdays 3 to 5 p.m. For the next few weeks, college basketball will be airing during my show, so please, if you tune in and hear basketball, listen in on Sundays from 3 to 5, The Sheila Show, where we talk about everything and help you get through life's toughest challenges with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Princess Monterey Whale Watching on Old Fisherman's Wharf in Monterey. Remember, if you hear basketball during my show on Saturday, tune in Sundays 3 to 5 for The Sheila Show. See ya.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
I need somebody who's in touch with their dark side. I need somebody who's there. They've lived it, you know. That's why I like older women, because you can't spook them. Younger women get uncomfortable very quickly. Older women will stare you down till the end of the night. They'll go with you every inch. They'll look you right in the face and go, "You think you're sick? I'm sick. I'm sicker than you. I'm the sickest. I'll creep you out. Why don't you wait about 5 minutes? We'll see who cries first. Yeah. You're not weird. You're a dork. That's what you are. You think you're all edgy and tough? I'll bite you in the face." My kids are grown. I got nothing to lose. I got nothing to lose. They don't even call me anymore.
That's comedian Andrew Norelli. I'm Richard Stockton here with a minute from the Planet Cruise Comedy Hour.
PlanetCruise.org.
If you transfer your IRAs, 401ks, or any retirement accounts today, we will add 10% to your full account value. $100,000 becomes $110,000, $400,000 becomes $440,000, and $700,000 becomes $770,000. My name is Stephen DeJohn, president of the DeJohn Advisory Team. I was on the cover of Senior Market Advisor magazine because I protect my clients' money, and I can guarantee an income for life. We don't recommend stocks, mutual funds, or variable annuities. These are risky securities. With securities, you have unlimited upside, but you also have unlimited downside. Our clients do not lose lose money in negative markets. Do you have a multi-generational IRA? Why not? It's been your right since 2001. Don't let Uncle Sam be your biggest beneficiary because your broker or banker is sleeping at the wheel. Call us right now at 866-515-6669 to receive your free video and brochure. We will then set up your free IRA and retirement checkup at one of our nationwide locations. Call 866-515-6669. It's a new year and it's time for change. Call 866-515-6669.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We are the ones we've been waiting for. Tuesday is the day we've been waiting for. Bush out, Obama in. Our special progressive coverage of the historic inauguration of President Barack Obama, sponsored by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. They're on the web at IBEW.org. IBEW, ready for our green energy future. Coming up before the end of the hour, progressive strategist Mike Lux, the author of a new book called The Progressive Revolution, will be chatting with us. Right now we go to Washington, D.C. and talk with Earl Bender, a longtime political operator. Earl, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
You're a regular contributor to my colleague Jeff Santos in Boston on WWZN AM 1510. And tell my West Coast listeners a little bit about you. Where have you been involved politically over the years, Earl?
Well, I've been running a political consulting firm since 1981, working for progressive clients and candidates, and we've done national work in all 50 states, and I've run campaigns in 44 states of the union, including California.
All right. Talk about a couple of your recent winners.
I keep electing mayors in Lincoln, Nebraska, which is one of the most conservative places in the country, where we've elected three progressive Democrats in a row.
Good for you. That's important work in the red states.
Absolutely. You got to make them a little more purple every day.
Now, red, blue, purple, this time, once we get past the election cycle, we don't have to look at those red and blue maps for at least a couple of years.
Oh, God bless.
To what extent do you think that Barack Obama will achieve his dream of post-partisanship? Will we see at least a reduction of the partisan squabbling in Washington?
At least in the short run, yes. It's quite a question as to how long a honeymoon the Republicans are going to give them. I was talking to a friend who is knowledgeable about Fox News' operations, and he thinks that the Obama honeymoon will last 3 days at Fox.
Well, I was just explaining to my listeners, Earl, that in preparation for tomorrow's coverage, I brought a TV in, and I borrowed cable from the guy who lives in the house next door.
Good move.
But it's distracting to have it on, and I actually did flip on Fox for a few minutes earlier today to discover that I am devoid of humanity. Do you know why?
No, sir, I do not.
Because I support Nancy Pelosi's change of heart. She's now calling for an investigation into at least the Justice Department issues related to lawbreaking by Bush administration officials. And I wish Pelosi had led the charge for much more robust investigations. But to this extent, I'm pleased that she's called for this. But the pushback on Fox is they trot out Dana Perino and Karl Rove on the Bill O'Reilly Show to denounce me as devoid of humanity for wanting justice and accountability, and then they basically start to brush back on Nancy Pelosi, saying, well, if she wants investigations, she ought to be careful, because she was briefed on the torture, she was briefed on the detention, she was briefed on the illegal wiretapping. And I find this fascinating, particularly coming from the mouth of Karl Rove, because say what you will about those other issues and potential compromising of Jay Rockefeller and the others who were briefed on it, there's no indication that anybody was briefed on the internal shenanigans at the Justice Department and Karl Rove's Wednesday meeting, where he reviewed judicial appointments, U.S. attorney appointments, and sent out the marching orders about who ought to, you know, phony up a prosecution on voter fraud.
Well, Karl Rove is indulging himself in a technique and a tactic that we all know. We just don't necessarily relate it. If you think back to when you watched The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy and her crew finally get to Oz, and there's a guy saying, don't look over there at that little man behind the curtain.
Yep.
Look over here at all of the fancy stuff I've got going on. So Karl Rove is saying, torture, briefings, blah, blah, blah. Don't look over there behind the curtain at the man who hired illegally, fired illegally, stole our civil rights. That would be wrong. Instead, think about all of these other things. And please don't look inside the Justice Department at the torture memo and all of those other things they generated.
Yeah, yeah. It is breathtaking the way he gets away with that. And, of course, you don't
see... Well, this is a guy whose doctorate is in creating legacies, you know. And the whole thing is we've had a four-month run of the Bush legacy.
Well, let me just correct one point. Karl Rove didn't finish college, so he doesn't have a doctorate in anything.
Well, but to hear him tell it, he's quite the historical student, particularly the McKinley administration.
Yeah.
I understand the 18th century values we've all been dealing with for the last 8 years.
Earl Bender with me here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a comment, feel free to join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. My email's available to you anytime, peter@peterbcollins.com. So, Earl, one of the things that we heard in the campaign, which was a thinly veiled attack by the Clinton campaign against Obama, was that Hillary would be ready on day one. Now, putting aside that partisan part of it, is the Obama administration ready on day one? What's going to happen on Wednesday? And given some people have been, their confirmations have been voted out of committee in the Senate, how soon will we see the cabinet up and running?
Well, first of all, things begin to happen Tuesday. At 12:01 on Tuesday, they have a small crew moving into the White House. They have usually 1 to 3 people moving into each of the cabinet agencies. These are not advice and consent appointees of the Senate, but they are the folks who work right underneath those people who can go in and serve as acting and begin to make the gears of government grind quickly and efficiently. And so in the classic phrasing of Washington, they are trying to hit the ground running. The cabinet will be pretty much approved by the end of the week, and those who are already voted through on Tuesday and Wednesday will be sworn in, often the same day, within a couple of hours of the time they clear the formal vote. So we're looking at having most of the cabinet sworn in pretty much by the end of the week or the middle of next week. You'll have key folks like the Secretary of Treasury. That one will be delayed a day or two, but the Attorney General and the Secretary of State ought to be ready to serve on Wednesday.
And then what follows that? Once you have the cabinet-level officer confirmed and installed, how quickly do they pick their underlings? And in this administration, what kind of info do you have on the extent to which cabinet officers get to pick their entire staff and the extent to which it's controlled from the White House the way they did it during the Bush era?
Well, there's always a balance between the two, and the Obama philosophy of government seems to be to let the cabinet pick a lot of their own folks to help them out. Some of the folks who need advice and consent of the Senate will be picked by the Obama folks, but a lot of those will even be picked by the cabinet officials who've been designated. This is the so-called cabinet government model that Carter used. And I'm afraid, personally, and it is my opinion and my opinion only, that we're repeating a mistake. And I was a member of the Carter administration, so I own part of this mistake, which is that having seen Nixon absolutely centralize the government and turn the White House into a Machiavellian operator of all things in the executive, Carter overreacted and gave all the control out to the departments. In some of the same ways, not necessarily on policy issues, but on personnel issues, it seems as if the Obama operation is indeed leaning in that same direction of letting the cabinet officials pick a lot of their own folks.
Well,
they do have a liaison already designated who will be in each department to work with the White House.
Earl, I share your concerns, and I didn't serve in the Carter administration, but as I look at the so-called team of rivals, I mean, that was a great book by Doris Kearns Goodwin, Plagiarist or Not, I still have my doubts. And let's focus on Senator Clinton, because she has been permitted to pick her second and third tier officials at the State Department. That's going to give her a little fiefdom. And to the extent that she and her husband, and I don't want to overplay this, but he's going to be in the picture. I fully believe that in one form or another. And so to the extent that they want to build a power base for a future run for the presidency, there could be some serious differences between the White House and Foggy Bottom.
I think that that's quite true. And in the early few months, they'll do everything they can to give the appearance of shared values and shared operations and instincts and policy direction. But over time, I think you're going to see a more pronounced divergence between state and the White House and the National Security Advisor and the president than you saw even between Colin Powell and Bush and Condoleezza Rice and, God help us, Dick Cheney.
Mm-hmm. Let's say that again. God help us. We're talking with Earl Bender here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Let's take some phone calls. Anthony's calling from Seattle. Hello, Anthony. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter B. Yes. I wanted to get y'all's take on the Secretary of Treasury pick, mm-hmm. the SEC pick, and the CFTC pick. Gary Gensler for CFTC. He's the guy that helped broker the act that brought us Enron and mm-hmm. the credit swap problem.
Okay.
SEC, Mary Shapiro, she has been running the agency that's been responsible for checking out the brokerage houses, mm-hmm. and she seems to have failed her job, and now she's up to the SEC chief. And Geithner was the NY Fed governor that governed over the past several years as well.
Well, we talked with investigative reporter Jeff Girth, used to write for the New York Times. He's now at ProPublica.org. That's the new nonprofit investigative journalism site. And, Anthony, I recommend you go there and look for Girth's piece about Geithner because it's pretty interesting. And in talking with Girth, my impression of Geithner is that he's too close to this problem. He's part of the problem. And he, on the one hand, he will be able to hit the ground running, no transition for him, because he's been part of the bailout process with Bernanke and Paulson. I'd like some fresh eyes on that, even in the role that Paul Volcker is playing in a kind of undefined senior economic policy position. What's your take, Earl?
I concur with you. I think he's part of the problem. And I think he's been there and done that. But I have friends who are fairly senior in the markets, and they were looking for calming folks that they already know who they think can hold the rudder steady mm-hmm. and help steady out the financial situation. It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't for Obama. If you pick people with fresh vision and fresh instincts, you get people that make the markets nervous and tank our financial system.
Mm-hmm.
The alternative is the Geithners et al., who are more of the same. For me, I understand the pop definition of crazy to be doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. The one thing that I do want to say is that Mary Shapiro, is that her name?
Yes.
She was not running the agency this gentleman suggested. She was running FDIC. And, in fact, the Bush administration and Paulson have been ignoring her advice until very recently. The very fact that she was on the outs with the Bushes and has been championing all the way along, spend the money to help homeowners stay in their houses,
mm-hmm.
help with mortgage relief to individual homeowners, I'm a little more encouraged by that appointment than the rest of them.
All right. Anthony, thanks for a great question, and keep listening in Seattle, will you?
You bet. Bye-bye.
All right. Good to hear from you. And now to Nancy in Santa Cruz, listening on KRXA. Go, Nancy.
Hi. I just wanted to make one point that I don't think anybody else is making right now about the Bush presidency, and that is that for some reason no one's mentioned the fact that he has absolutely failed to address global warming, and I feel that this is perhaps the most serious crime of his presidency. I think he has, we've spent the last 8 years doing absolutely nothing.
Well, and worse than that, we have given in to the resource extractors and the people from the Competitive
exactly.
Enterprise Institute and delayed and blocked and made voluntary things that could have been compulsory. So I thank you for interjecting that, Nancy. I think it's a very important point. Good to talk to you today. And Earl Bender, I want to thank you for joining us. Let's let's talk again soon.
Thank you, sir. My pleasure.
All right. It was a pleasure for me, too. We'll take a break and return. Mike Lux, progressive strategist, will wrap up our program today here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good evening, everyone, and happy Martin Luther King Day. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. We'll begin with the northbound 101 at Airport Boulevard. A German Shepherd has wandered into the roadway, so look out for him. And on Highway 156 at Monte Del Lago, we have a three-vehicle traffic collision. All vehicles are on the right-hand shoulder now. In Castroville, we have a traffic hazard on Castroville Boulevard at County Road G12. There are two vehicles blocking the Castroville Manzanita Park Gate. And in Santa Cruz, we've been keeping an eye on this one all afternoon long. A large big rig is blocking the roadway on Beach Road at Shell Drive. And weather tonight is going to be clear with lots of stars out. We'll have lows in the lower to mid 40s and some light winds. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a wonderful evening and keep it locked on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Cruz. Come listen to the new Jennifer Cruz Show, Saturdays at noon, where we will get into it, I-N-T-U-I-T. We'll talk about intuition, emotions, and passions, all the invisible aspects of each and every one of us that nobody talks about. The Jennifer Cruz Show is made possible by Weiland Galleries in Carmel and Water Me Well Inner Healing Apparel. Visit watermewell.com. See you Saturdays at noon on the new Jennifer Cruz Show. Remember, Saturdays at noon, only on AM 540. Get into it.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Mike Lux joins us from Radio Row in Washington, D.C. He is the progressive strategist who's been a regular contributor to our program. He came to Washington with the Clintons back in the 90s, and he is celebrating the release of his brand new book, The Progressive Revolution, How the Best in America Came to Be. Mike Lux, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Peter. It's great to be on. I always love coming on your show, and it's fun doing it here in the utter chaos of Radio Row.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about your book, because over the last few days, the Obama team made the initial plans for the re-election campaign 4 years from now, in 2012. And I think this is very important, because we know that the first 4 years for Barack Obama are going to be extremely challenging, getting out of Iraq, hopefully reducing our plan to put more troops in Afghanistan, but also trying to fix the economy here at home. And I want to know what you talk about in your book in terms of extending this beyond the one-term wonder of Barack Obama's election in 2008.
Well, first of all, it's very, very important. And whether you look at history in recent times or way back from the beginning, it's very important that Barack Obama succeeds early in his administration. He's got to show clear results. He's got to demonstrate to the American people that he can get things done on the big challenges that face us, on the economy, on restructuring health care, on restructuring energy and dealing with climate change, on getting us out of Iraq. He's got to be successful in these early years at really turning the country around. And if he is, I'm sure they'll run another great campaign, but I think he's going to get reelected in a landslide if he's successful at fixing some of these problems, or at least beginning to.
Now, the Netroots certainly played a major role not only in raising money for Obama, but in the networking, and he's got something like 12 or 13 million email addresses, and it's interesting because the Obama team has decided not to turn them over to the Democratic National Committee, but to keep them as a discrete database that they own and control. How do you see that being used to support initiatives and programs of President Obama?
Well, the whole point of separating it off into it will actually come under the rubric of the DNC, but as a separate and distinct project of the DNC. And the whole point of keeping it separate and distinct is they want to really focus on helping Barack Obama pass these big ideas that he has, cleaning up the economy, restructuring health care, restructuring the energy industry, because Obama and his team know that if he's successful at those big things, he will be a successful president. And that is the most important thing. The idea of him running was not just to be the first African-American president, as important as that is, but to really change things in this country.
Well, they got my email address around the vice presidential pick back there in August, and I get emails from Barack and Michelle on a regular basis. What do you think the tone of that will be like, say, as we try to pass the Employee Free Choice Act?
Well, what I believe and hope that they'll be doing with those emails is encouraging people not just to call their members of Congress, not just to do a little bit, but to really get actively involved in volunteering the same way people did during the campaign. We want to get people out knocking on doors. We want to get people organizing in their neighborhoods, in their precincts, in their home counties. We need an active citizenry and active volunteer. And by the way, the progressive movement needs that as well. We need to keep, as a movement, we can't just rely on the politicians. We got to keep pushing on our own end, the same way the abolitionists pushed Abe Lincoln and John L. Lewis and Walter Reuther pushed FDR and Martin Luther King pushed JFK and LBJ. The progressive movement outside of government has to keep pushing to get things done, because otherwise it's not going to happen.
And Mike, as you just described that, a metaphor came to mind, and that is if the administration is the ship of state, then progressives need one of these fancy tugboats, the kind that can move in every direction, and sometimes we need to push the ship forward, and sometimes we need to tack a little to the left, and sometimes we need to pull it back when it starts to move to the right.
Well, that's exactly right. That's a great analogy, Peter. I wish I thought of it myself, but I'll have to steal it. You hit the nail on the head. We need a movement that pushes and pulls, that drags along and follows follows, depending on the moment, that chooses its battles strategically, but focuses on the big, important battles that really matter in American politics. And if we have that kind of nimble, creative movement, I think it can be an enormous asset to getting the things done we need to get done.
And Mike Lux, before I let you go, what has struck you so far? An interaction with an individual you never met, the scene before the Lincoln Memorial on Sunday afternoon. What really has left a memorable impact on you so far?
Well, you know, it's just a sense of energy, Peter. You know, I remember fondly the early days of Clinton, the election, the transition period, the inauguration, those early days, and those were of course wonderful times and wonderful being a part of it. But I never felt the sense of energy I'm feeling today, with where everybody is excited, and people are here from all over the country and all over the world, and everybody's pumped up, and everybody's acting with such joy and such passion, and every time you walk out into the street, every time you go into a hotel lobby, every time you get into a taxi cab with a taxi driver, you feel it, because people are just pumped up. Mm-hmm. And it's great to see, and I think we're going to create our own progressive revolution.
Well, Mike Lux, thank you for joining us. Thanks for all the work you've been doing, and I look forward to talking with you after I've read your new book, The Progressive Revolution, How the Best in America Came to Be.
Thanks for having me on, Peter. I sure do appreciate it.
Mike Lux at Radio Row in Washington, D.C. Well, we're going to resume tomorrow. In Boston, Jeff Santos will kick it off at 6 in the morning, live from Washington, leading up to the historic inauguration of Barack Obama about noon Eastern time. And I'll take over the coverage right after the inaugural events at the Capitol and be with you in Boston all afternoon long in our regular evening appearance, Eastern time, on the Peter B. Collins Show. And if for my West Coast listeners, if you would like to catch the streaming coverage from Boston, just log on to 1510thezone.com. That's WWZN 1510, 1510thezone.com. That's where you'll catch the stream, and I'll try to put that up on the homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Happy trails to you.
And this rendition of Happy Trails, dedicated to George W. Bush and Dick Cheney.
Happy trails to you.
You keep smiling.
Keep smiling.
IBEW is the proud sponsor of our progressive coverage of the historic inauguration of President Barack Obama. With 750,000 members nationwide, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers leads the way to our green energy future. Our skilled members are excited by the innovation and environmental benefits of the solar and wind generation facilities we've already built. There's one aspect that needs more attention, and that's the grid. Our electrical grid system needs to be updated and upgraded to deliver the green power we want. We learned the hard way during the blackout of 2005 in the East and Midwest, and in California in 2001. Our grid is aging and under strain. So IBEW urges Congress to remember the grid as it builds the plan for our energy future. Find out more at IBEW.org. A message from the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A record crowd is expected in Washington tomorrow for the inauguration of the nation's first black president. CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson takes a look at what an extraordinary draw this event has turned out to be.
It's a real exercise in faith that so many, like these Chicago church members boarding buses this afternoon, are coming with no tickets, no hotel rooms, and no idea of how they'll get around amid tight security.
We're just going and prayerfully, we'll see something.
The estimated crowd capacity along the parade route is no more than 300,000 to 350,000 people, and the Secret Service says once that number is reached, they're shutting off all the entrances, even to people who already have tickets.
I'm Steve Kathan on the National Mall. Floyd Mayfield is here for the inaugural from Atlanta, still pinching himself at the idea a black man will be sworn in as president.
It means a lot.
It's something that I never saw coming.
Amanda Nelson from Laurel, Maryland, is solidly behind Mr. Obama's call to service.
I'm willing to really step up and try to do whatever I can do possibly.
A sentiment shared by so many here that hope must now become action.
The president-elect marked Martin Luther King Day by encouraging community service. He visited a shelter for homeless and runaway teens and helped paint a wall. This evening, he spoke at a dinner honoring his former rival, John McCain.
We are glad that the days of rebuttals and campaigning are for now behind us.
He said the Arizona senator has set a standard for patriotism and bipartisanship. Mr. Obama also appeared at dinners for Colin Powell and Vice President-elect Joe Biden. Outgoing Vice President Dick Cheney had an accident today.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, which says Vice President Cheney pulled a muscle in his back while moving boxes into his new home. At his doctor's recommendation, he'll be in a wheelchair for the next couple of days, including at the inauguration ceremony. But a spokeswoman says Cheney looks forward to being there.
President Bush will ride to the inaugural with his successor. He spent much of this day making farewell phone calls to foreign leaders, including Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin, British Prime Minister Gordon Brown, and Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi. More products made with peanut butter have been identified as possible sources of the salmonella outbreak that sickened nearly 500 people. Kellogg spokesman.